It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. I really don't need to tell you what the show's going to be about. All you need to know is Patrick Norton's here. Father Robert Ballester's here. Ian Thompson is here. And they're all in studio, and we're going to have a blast. TWiT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is TWiT This Week in Tech, episode 681, recorded Sunday, August 26th, 2018. That grips my muffin. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Quip, the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Visit getquip.com/twit to get your first refill pack free when you purchase any Quip electric toothbrush. And by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/twit. And by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on wordpress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month, and you'll get 15% off any new plan at wordpress.com/twit. And by Betterment, the investing tool for those who refuse to settle for average investing. Sign up today at betterment.com/twit and get up to 1 year managed free. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. All in studio today. I feel like this might be foreshadowing my last TWiT ever. You know, like this is how it'll be. I'll have Father Robert on my right doing the last unction. Father Robert Ballester, the digital Jesuit. This is your last TWIT for a while.
This is my last hurrah. It's hard to say last of anything.
I don't think it's really going to be your last.
No. In fact, I just did a course on this over the summer of how Jesuits used to go, and that's the last you would see of them. Well, we live in the modern world now, right. And I'm flying back and forth to the States 15 times a year.
Plus, y'all live longer.
We live longer. Well, I might not be living longer.
He's going to Rome. He's going to be working in the Vatican, in Vatican City.
Yes.
But you will be coming back here. I know you're next going to be back for Dreamforce, then CES. So we're going to see more of you, I hope.
Right. Yeah, I booked a gig at Dreamforce, so I'm doing a talk for a company that wants me to talk about the next generation of CRM. And I figured as long as I'm in town, I'll stay for Oculus Connect.
Scintillating.
I know, right?
It's just so odd that the guy who goes to the Vatican to be in charge of technology is talking about the next generation of CRM. It's just odd.
It is odd. But you should come because you can be there with at least 20 to 30 other people listening.
No, you'll be fine.
Although Dreamforce, they did have a couple of years ago, they had who's the guy that did White Wedding, the song?
Billy Idol.
Yes. He played Dreamforce and he changed the lyrics of the song to "It's a nice day for CRM."
That's really all you need.
It was that bad. It was just like, okay, right.
Check was that big.
Yeah, exactly. You're off the artistic register, into the cupboard with you with the other advertising magans.
That's Ian Thompson from theregister.co.uk. where he is now news editor, right?
Yep.
Great to have you, Ian, as always.
Recovering from DEF CON, but yep.
Yeah. we'll ask about that. And, of course, Patrick Norton's also here from techthing.com.
Hey.
So it's kind of an all-star panel. Really wonderful to have you. Well, did you go to DEF CON this year?
I was at DEF CON. Yeah, all three of us were at DEF CON.
All three of you?
Yeah.
Well, I was being stalked at DEF CON by somebody.
We were at the Pony Awards. And I started taking pictures of Ian, and I could see him looking around to see where I was. So I started taking video of him looking around.
And well, I was on Twitter, and I was just like,
you're supposed to get
back
permission
of Ian Thompson's head and
first.
This is true. Unless it's funny. Yeah. I think that was the rule.
All depends on who you're taking a picture of and whether they consider it funny.
Can we get a taller microphone for Father Robert? It's like you got we'll just put a dictionary or something
underneath.
I like
the baby mic.
Your microphone's way down there.
It makes me feel so dainty.
So did you all go to Black Hat and DEF CON or just DEF CON?
And B-Sides, yeah.
And B-Sides. So there's now three conferences all in Vegas at the same time.
Yes.
Three conferences you can't get into anything at unless you wait 9 hours in line for.
Well, not
B-Sides. B-Sides.
I was going to say, B-Sides you could get into, and I'm kind of biased because I was presenting a couple of talks there, but DEF CON was just ridiculous.
So what are the three different conferences, and what is the role of each?
Well, B-Sides started up as a conference for people who couldn't get into Black Hat, but in fact has metamorphosized into stuff which is slightly too edgy for Black Hat. So right. that's quite fun.
Black Hat's more corporate.
Black Hat's RSA well, with hookers,
well,
basically.
Yeah, Black Hat's turned into a place. No, Black Hat's where people, a friend of mine said, Black Hat's where you go.
There's robots in the audience, Ian, please.
Okay, with robot hookers as well.
Black Hat's where you go if you're trying to find your next job. B-Sides yeah. is where you go if you're actually serious about staying ahead of security. And DEF CON's where you go if you can't afford Black Hat and care about security, but couldn't spend the extra, get out of work yeah. for B-Sides.
Although there has been an evolution of Black Hat. I will mm-hmm. give them this, because Black Hat used to be, for me, it was the place that your corporation would pay for you to right. go, because mm-hmm. it's a professional conference. And executives, C-suite executives, could learn enough so that they don't sound stupid when they're speaking to their engineers. That changed the last 2 years, but especially this year, there were talks at Black Hat that I previously had only seen at B-Sides or DEF CON.
The talks at Black Hat this right. year were a lot better than
technical,
they had been in previous. In the last couple of years, it's been getting pretty nasty, yeah. but the way we describe it to readers is basically, if you want to know what isn't in the manual, then you go to Black Hat. If you want to know how to hack the source code, you go to B-Sides or DEF CON.
Right.
So DEF CON and B-Sides are very similar in that sense. What we're used to with, at least from the outside, is that DEF CON is where all the people with 0 days go to announce their unique ways to hack cars or hack, you know, ATM machines. That's where you hear. In fact, we always have on Security Now a bunch of stories after DEF CON about, okay, now you got to worry about this. In fact, you know, was Foreshadow announced at DEF CON? There were a whole bunch of new vulnerabilities that came out. So, but is that not the case anymore?
No, they still had a lot of vulnerabilities at DEF CON. I mean, okay. you know, I mean, in some ways, DEF CON's always been the more affordable punk rock little sister of Black Hat, or little brother, if you prefer, where it was much more democratic in the sense that just about everybody could afford to get right. there.
But yeah. now it's like Burning Man, like everybody's there. Is that right? Has it become very popular?
It felt that way 20 years ago when it was 2,500 people, and it kind of feels like it's funny because a lot of people.
Well, how many people is it now?
25,000?
Yeah. I mean, Rob Joyce, the NSA's former tethered access operations guy, gave a keynote on the second day. And that was a 5,000-seat auditorium he was talking at.
Yeah.
It filled up within 30 minutes, and there were at least twice that number of people trying to get in, queuing all the way down yeah. the hall and back again. It's just got too big.
I remember DEF CON where you could jump from one keynote to the next, right. from one track to the... You can't do that anymore.
That was a lot.
You pick a track.
That's been like 12 years. I mean, I think it was like 8 years ago. I was going to wait for 4 hours yep. to get into a session, or I wasn't going to be able to see a session, which means seeing one session a day.
Yep.
So
it was about DEF CON 22 or so where I just realized, look, these talks are all going to be available afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend my time in the villages. I'm actually, DEF CON to me is now hacker summer camp. It's where I get to meet up with people that maybe I only see once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll learn the stuff later on.
Yeah. Well, one of the big stories, of course, was Voter Village this year. They had voting machines, some still in service, right? Many still in service. From all over the country, and encouraged people to hack them.
Well, an 11-year-old managed to hack a replica of a government election results website in just 10 minutes.
Right. and there's a lot of talk about whether or not that was actually hacking an election. And the base is he was able to gain access to a replica of something that would have been quote-unquote official information.
Mm. The Secretary of State's website right. where they would announce the winner of an election. Yeah. So even if it's, you know, oh, we'll fix it, it's disruptive that he got in. That's not good. I did see, though, a number of voting machines easily modified, easily hacked.
Oh, yeah.
I spent like an hour in there. And one of the, it wasn't a voting machine, but it was the poll worker tablet. So it's the device that the poll worker would have so that he or she knows how to run what's going on, would direct people to the right machines, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just noob stuff. It was using a PCMCIA card for its configuration. The file was not signed in any way, shape, or form. So anyone could pop the thing out, reconfigure it, and change what the poll worker was doing.
Well, one of them had a memory and an SD card, which was physically available to anybody who was...
pop it out.
And you're like, so pop it out, put in the operating system in, that's fine, we're done. And it's just it was bonkers.
Silly. It was interesting because one of the things the kind of the Association of Secretaries of State, which I'm getting the name wrong, but essentially a group that represents the Secretaries of State, we're like, this is not legit because this is not how, you know, the security isn't in place. People wouldn't have access. And the truth is, you know, on one hand, sure, you know, generally speaking, you don't have all these voting machines and, you know, tens of thousands of hackers circling around them during an election. But the flip side is that a lot of this stuff that was being caught was stuff that makes security professionals go like,
I mean, something as simple as not signing a file. Why would you not sign a file? Why would you not design the hardware so it won't work without a signed file?
Why not? Is it the companies that design election and voting machines are not sophisticated? Or are they not worried?
They've already been paid.
Exactly. They don't give a monkey's.
It's hardware that's a decade old.
Plenty of other industries where best practices are known and adhered to. Why is it? You would think this would be an industry where it would be important.
Because in their mind, they think that the attack surface is so small that it's not worth it. Because they think, oh, these machines are brought out, what, once a year?
Well, and we've heard that also, that because our system in the United States is so heterogeneous, that even if you figure out how to hack one machine, there's still many, many other ways. Every county effectively decides how it's going to vote.
Oh, yeah, but if you looked at what the stuff they were doing, I mean, basically they were taking a whole variety of manufacturers' machines and taking them apart. I mean, and some of the manufacturers kind of tried to preempt the whole thing by putting out press releases. Oh, this is a very, very,
that
very
was
minor
so
use
sad.
Case.
I know. It was so sad to
it
see.
Was just like, we know you're going to hack us, but, you know, it's not really that important.
But we
is
recognize
it?
It ahead of the fact, so it doesn't really count. It's like, no.
It was pathetic.
Yeah. I like better stuff.
It's funny because like Matt Blaze did a follow-up on this. He's like, every expert on voting security, use precinct counted optical scan balance at risk limiting audits. Internet, I don't know what that is, but here's my idea. I spent 10 minutes on that. I'm sure it's better. Experts, your idea doesn't work. Internet, but it has blockchain.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh. Blockchain, that's how we solve this.
The minute you hear blockchain, you know the argument's over.
I walked away. Every booth at Black Hat that did, and blockchain. No.
No blockchain.
Goodbye. Well, it was great. I mean, Parisa Tabriz's keynote at Black Hat, when she starts over, goes, first off, blockchain is not going to save you. And you just heard a million vendors go, damn, we need to redo the signage.
Wait a minute. In principle, the notion of an encrypted, decentralized ledger system seems like it'd be perfect for voting.
It's been used in, somebody came up with I forget the name of the system now, but they used it in university elections, and it enables both privacy and also checking for results. But I was talking to one of the guys there, actually it was one at the voting village, and she's like, yeah, those kind of things are great when you're running them out over like 1,000 people in a university sector, but trying to run it out on a national scale, there's all kinds of bugs.
The irony is the old method of paper ballots is still the best.
Right. Mm. Right.
And in fact, I'm seeing a lot of technology experts say, just go back to paper.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The optical scanning of paper ballots, it leaves a trail.
Because you can then go back, recount.
Yeah.
I think part of this comes from 2000 when the hanging chads in Florida became a big issue and we saw recounts on TV for hours.
Fortunately, we don't have anyone trying to influence elections in the United States in the current cycle.
It's harder to influence paper ballots, isn't it? I mean,
well, actually, there was a very interesting point that the old paper ballots, this was one of the guys, this was at a talk at ShmooCon, they suffered from their own denial of service attack. Because if you got a very popular candidate, you'd press down on the thing, it would punch through, but if enough people had punched through before, there was a wad of paper underneath the ballot.
And you couldn't vote.
And you couldn't punch all the way through. And
well,
that
can we just get them to clean the tray once in a while?
Well, just write a cross on a piece of paper. It's worked for the UK for 500 years. You know, it's...
The other thing is that if you're going to hack paper ballots, if you have electronic counting, that's where you hack it. You don't hack it at the paper ballot. In fact, much more efficient just is to hack the counting machines. So the paper trail is important. Because you need to be able to audit it in some way or fashion. And there are unfortunately quite a few still electronic voting machines used in the United States in elections that do not have a paper trail at all. There's not a receipt.
It's computerized. That makes it better, Leo.
Yeah, it's internet. Yeah. Well, everything's better with internet.
That's why the suggestion that the blockchain will fix it is kind of ridiculous. Because the blockchain is great for many things, specifically for auditing. But not necessarily for verifying that went into the audit was valid.
Then there is the whole issue, and this is something that Facebook and Twitter and other big tech companies are concerned about, of influence being used over the internet during the election. This week, a dozen of the biggest tech companies in the U.S. met at Twitter's headquarters. This was the second meeting they'd had. Google, Microsoft, Snapchat. They had gone before to meet with the FBI and the Foreign Influence Task Force. And at that time, they were very unhappy because the FBI said, you tell us, but we won't tell you. they didn't give them any information about what threats they should be aware of.
That makes sense.
I think that this second meeting, it sounds like these guys are saying, well, we're not going to be able to get much help from the feds. So what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this?
See, the thing is, I was actually watching a, this is not a phrase I'd say, Kara Swisher gave a very good point about this over the weekend, just saying, look, they aren't hacking Facebook and Twitter. They're using Facebook and Twitter as
intended.
It was meant to be used. Yeah. So whether or not tech companies can get their act together to actually do something about this in a way that isn't going to balk their entire business model, I'm highly skeptical about, and I don't think that they're that motivated to do it.
Yeah.
How can we be held not responsible for the content of our services if we actually are responsible for the content of our services and service of this
thing? Even
if
they wanted to, it's hard for them to fix it if their entire business model is based on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all social media is based on two main principles: the ability to be anonymous and the ability to amplify. That's the whole social. Right. More people like it, the more it gets amplified. Well, if that's the core of your business, then you by design you can't fix that problem because anybody with a sufficient enough network can amplify any message and it can be anonymous. Well, all right. So the only way to fix your service is to stop doing your service.
I'm just laughing because, like, you know, really, what happened? Facebook, to eliminate Facebook, Facebook just needs to make promotion so expensive that no one can use it without bankrupting their nation. So that'll take care of that.
But, you know, Mark has a program to cure the world of all known diseases in 20 years, and that takes money. So
just, is that true?
Oh, yeah. You know, the Mark and Melissa. Oh, no, no. What's his name?
The Gates Foundation?
Gates Foundation?
No, no.
Mark and... Oh, it's Priscilla Chan, Priscilla, his wife. Yeah.
They did an announcement about 18 months ago where they said they wanted to...
eliminate.
...cure or make manageable all known diseases.
It worked so well for Bill and Melinda that Priscilla and Mark wanted to...
honestly, Bill and Melinda have done great work. Yeah. We're nearly... Polio is nearly gone.
I was just reading a review of Steve Jobs' daughter, Lisa Brennan Jobs, which she says is a love story to her father. But if you read it, apparently, I haven't read it yet, but I read the review, is like, this guy was a complete jerk.
He was.
But she says, but he did it in a loving way.
That's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Exactly.
The funniest thing I thought it was at the end is she did, the good news is she inherited from the Jobs estate exactly in the same proportion as the other kids did. All three inherited millions of dollars. She didn't get the full estate. And she said, which is too bad, because if I had, I would have given it to Bill and Melinda Gates.
Right.
Yeah, for their charity.
Not bitter at all.
It's like, I love my dad, but I'm going to screw him at the end.
Well, I mean, honestly, Jobs never gave that much money to charity.
No, he was not. In fact, he discouraged Apple from doing anything charitable at all.
And he also, he shafted her pretty badly when she was born by refusing to acknowledge she was her father.
Even after a DNA test, he said, no, I'm not the dad.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Steve Jobs, he was this great wunderkind. He was a bastard.
Well, I know several people who have been in the room and worked with Steve Jobs. Not one of them, like, they've all, like, he's a visionary. He had focus. He was the ultimate editor. But pretty much every one of them said before or after that, but he was the biggest bastard I've ever been trapped with in my entire life.
Yeah.
And he's also emblematic of the startup culture that we're now starting to recognize as toxic in the Silicon Valley. This idea that you have to work 100 plus hours a week, otherwise you're not really dedicated to your idea.
Yeah.
That existed before Steve Jobs, but Steve Jobs kind of made it a cult.
Yes.
That was this whole, you know, are you a pirate? Because a pirate never stops working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. And the constant paranoia, you know, you never got into a lift with Steve Jobs.
Because he could get fired before you get out.
Yeah, he could just turn to you and say, well, what do you do here?
By the way, that's L-I-F-T, not L-Y-F-T.
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make that clear.
But you wouldn't want to get into a lift with him either.
No. Uber was fine,
Uber.
Oh, God, if you actually got into a lift with him, you'd be kicking him out of the passenger seat door.
Alex Lindsay, who did work at Apple for a brief time, tells a story of actually getting in an elevator. That's what we call him here in the States. Getting in an elevator with Steve Jobs and another guy. And Jobs firing the guy. You're fired. Get out of here. The guy leaves. Jobs gets out of the elevator. The guy's standing there like a pool, and there's an HR person. She says, no, don't worry about it. It's okay.
Just avoid Steve for the next couple of days.
He won't.
Fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
But I mean, the thing is, like, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has done extraordinary things.
And they've globally successfully.
What's interesting about Zuckerberg is he, you know, instead of waiting till he was done with the company, he looked around and went, like, I have more money than I can ever spend for the rest of my life. Perhaps I should start doing something useful with it now. rather than waiting, you know.
And I admire
30 years.
That.
Whether there or not anything he's questions. Doing is realistic.
No,
is
no,
entirely
no.
Different.
I mean, I take what you're saying, but at the same time, it was also a very good way to shift a huge bulk of stock out of the
exactly.
tax system and into something that he could be used. And it's not a charity, it's a private enterprise. Yeah. Being run in his name, so it's not strictly speaking a non-profit.
I don't want to discourage it. I think it's great.
No, seriously. Yeah.
But
I think it needs to get
the proof is in the pudding. We want to see what happens. Nothing so
far. Show me the money.
In fact, the only really example we have of Zuckerberg's philanthropy is the $100 million he gave to Newark for education, mm-hmm. which turned out
worked well.
You can't dump that much money on a system that's already really poorly run and just say, well, now it's all better, right?
Particularly in New Jersey. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, my wife.
Easy.
No. Okay. My wife is a Jersey girl. I take it that you two are from the land of Bruce Springsteen, but, you know, it's...
My mom, it's there are a lot of teachers in my family, in New Jersey. So there are a lot of, but there are a lot of endemic issues in education all over the United States at this point.
Well, he's learning what it's interesting because Bill Gates always had said, I am not going to give away any money until I can do it right. It's very easy to throw money wrong at a problem and just not only waste your money, sometimes make the problem worse. In fact, it's very hard, I think, to do effective charity.
Yeah, I mean, Gates spent, you know, years trying to get his head around the disease issue before they started going after polio. And now, but for a couple of countries,
isn't that amazing?
Hopefully polio is going to be eradicated, which is...
So, some of our organizations work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in overseas. Mm. And one of the things that we are, because we work with other organizations because they want to copy what we're doing. And when they talk about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they always say, and they make it so hard. It's like, okay, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But it's not that it's hard. It's they're demanding accountability.
Yeah.
Should also point out that while it is great the billionaires give away their fortune, that the amount of money that private charities contribute is a tiny fraction. Yep. And I'll even include the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Is a tiny fraction of what governments contribute to this.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't replace... You know,
it can't
replace the societal safety net.
Also, I mean, government can fund long-term research in a way that companies and private individuals really don't usually do.
Right. Well, certainly not if they're held to quarterly stock.
No.
I'm curious what you think, because Facebook, which has an AI lab, which I didn't know, and maybe I don't know if this is the best.
No. Facebook has three AI labs on, like, three different continents and a fairly large percentage of the talent pool available for AI research.
Dig it. I hope that they mean to do good with it, but somehow...
Yes, the more time you spend on, you know, Facebook like a meth addict...
The better the world will
be. The better world will be.
That's what I fear.
Mark will have more money to give away to his not foundation.
NYU, New York University, has provided Facebook with an anonymous, and this is already a little bit of a problem because anonymous data sets often aren't, an anonymous data set of 10,000 MRIs, this medical resonance, magnetic resonance imaging, a trove that will include as many as 3 million images of knees, brains, and livers to help Facebook's AI get smarter. Now, I'm sure Facebook says, our intent is to make MRIs work better and faster and maybe, eliminate radiologists. But honestly, do you really want to be helping Facebook? But whose AI would you help? Google, Apple, Tesla, commercial AI.
You're helping all of them.
All the time.
If you have an Android phone, if you have an Alexa, if you have a Google HOME, if you drive a Tesla, and all of these things, you are helping
their
AI.
NYU Medical School could maybe do a better job with its 10,000 MRI records and give it to Facebook.
This screamed publicity stunt to my mind because Facebook...
For NYU or Facebook?
Both.
For both, in fact. Because, I mean, Facebook does not have a good reputation when it comes to AI. They're way behind people like Google. They're even behind IBM, whose Watson is a dog that hasn't found
Watson turned out not to be very good in medical.
Watson's painfully bad, and they've been shopping it around all these industries. They've just tested Watson on medical stuff, and it's like, ooh, actually, that's making a significant number of mistakes. So, honestly, Facebook is... Do you remember, were you at F8 a few years ago when they're like, oh, yes, we're building AI into our messenger system?
Yeah.
And then they had to admit, well, obviously there's a human being at the other end, but, you know, the AI will be there. You're like, right, okay, you know, this is why the software developer's
wife
dies of virgin.
So who do you trust, then? It seems to me, you know, at first I was saying, Facebook. But then I thought, well, Google, is that better? Apple, is that better? Is Waymo better? Is Tesla better? Any commercial entity... is going to be working first on profit and secondarily on making the world a better place.
My thought is it's one thing to have a company that is you know, a company that's going to maximize, since most companies are publicly held or the VCs will eventually decide that they want their return and will force them to go public. I think I'm probably a lot more comfortable with companies that are like, we have this scientist, this person, this individual, this idea, and feel free to point out certain, blood testing systems in a couple minutes after I finish my sentence. But, that if their focus is actually improving MRI and they're not going to survive as an organization if they don't figure out how to make MRIs work better.
That's different.
That's But that's also that as a motive. This is like yet another sideline for Facebook.
Yeah. Well, they even say at the end of the article, this is from CNN Money, Facebook started talking to NYU about the project last year because its AI team, Facebook's, wanted to work on something with real world benefits, even as it performs basic research.
So you can see, they're talking to a dean. The dean talks to the heads of the department. Yeah. Yeah. The departments talk to the professors. Professors look at each other like, I don't have time for this.
Here, just take the data set. Get out of our hair.
Like, and then one professor,
we'll put out a press release,
who smells money is like, I got the project.
I think that's exactly right.
These announcements mean nothing to me unless they come with exactly what they're looking for. What is the measurable?
Yeah.
So it can't just be, we're going to hand over 10,000 MRIs to Microsoft's analytics. It's got to be because Microsoft wants to see if there's a commonality in X disease. Right.
And also, it's got to be peer-reviewed. The research is going to be peer-reviewed, double-blind checked. I get very worried when, AI will replace doctors in 10 years. It's like, no, AI makes serious mistakes.
I get very worried when academia starts adopting sort of the PR parlance of Silicon Valley. I don't want to see that.
Well, it's 75% accurate, and that means, great, a quarter of the people are going to get misdiagnosed and die. That's not what I'm calling a really good result.
I guess I would say, how accurate are humans? And then if it's...
This is true.
Aren't better...
At least with
it depends on the human.
Yeah. Right. Facebook also has, and I think a hidden agenda with AI, because Facebook, as we were talking about, is challenged very much by the fact that it has a business model based on taking as much information as it can and selling it to the highest bidder, even if it maybe is a bidder from a foreign government trying to influence our elections or whatever. So that's a problem. So there's not enough humans to monitor 2 billion users. There just aren't.
No, it's not.
So they have to have...
There's another 5 billion humans on the planet.
Okay, so but half of the world is devoted to moderating the other half.
It almost worked in the Soviet Union. But
phone system said, back in the early days when it was always women doing the switching in the phone system, by the year 1950, all the women in the world will be employed switching the phone system. Thank God they came up with electronic switches. Run out of people after a while.
Absolutely, run out. And I'm obviously making light of this, but it's also amazing to realize, you're talking about, people talk about the advertising market online being split up, like 90% of the revenue goes to Google and Facebook. Google actually sends some of that back out in AdSense. Facebook not only doesn't really particularly send the advertising revenue out, they also are now making publishers, pay for their carriage for all intents and purposes for their reach.
Oh, you saw that quote they gave?
We talked about that last week, Campbell.
Entire publishing models, entire online businesses have basically crashed and burned on Facebook's, choices over the last couple of years. It's not like they don't have money to invest in a lot of areas.
No, there's an article on Motherboard that's interesting. Let me finish my first thought, which is one of the reasons Facebook wants to kind of promote this notion that we're working on AI, AI is smart, AI is good, is because they hope that people will buy the notion that AI is going to solve this moderation problem. You and I know it's not. It's not anywhere close to it. Right. No. And every time people... Apparently, Mark Zuckerberg has been having meetings now. So this was a great article in Motherboard, The Impossible Job Inside Facebook's Struggle to Moderate 2 Billion People, Billions of Posts a Week, in more than 100 languages. Let's not forget that. So what Mark Zuckerberg is doing... having dinner parties with leading social media academics, a series of off-the-record dinners at his house in Palo Alto, centering around the most important problem plaguing the company, content moderation.
It was a very smart PR move for Facebook to actually leak that stuff out. but I'm sorry, it's just like, Mark Zuckerberg has dinner.
He's having dinner. He's talking about it at dinner.
But can you imagine a dinner party with Mark Zuckerberg? You saw the photos from when he went around America
like with a robot.
Dinner with ordinary people. And it's like, yeah. Hi, I'm trying to make it look like I'm enjoying this delicious mac and cheese, whereas I just want to get
home. No. That was the funny thing is that even though he was having dinner with ordinary people, his people would come a day early saying, we're going to cater this if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We don't want mac and cheese. We'll handle this for me.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to a Montgomery, Alabama for a tech TV event? I think you were there, Patrick. And we had breakfast at a very lovely home, a mansion in Montgomery. Wasn't you?
No.
And the hostess served cheese grits to everybody, which I'm sure is a delicious Southern treat. But we were kind of blocked up for the rest of the day.
No, I
didn't something have, you build up to.
I didn't exactly. I didn't have the cheese grits stamina. That I hadn't really built up a defense against cheese grits.
As a Brit, I hesitate to criticize another person's cuisine, but my goodness, grits are just foul.
You eat bangers and mash. Don't even get on this.
It's delicious, but cheese grits.
There was you must have been up in arms. There was an
article. It's like grits, but with cheese. What's wrong with that? Cheese and oatmeal.
No one has yet explained to me what exactly grits are.
It's ground up. It's just corn kernel.
It looks like
it's not polenta. Corn.
It's redneck polenta.
It's white corn.
Right? It's like degerminated.
It's a
corn
special kind. And then it does it. There's a chemical thing that happens with the cheese and the starch in the corn. They bond together in an unholy alliance. It's basically a long chain polymer in your gut.
It looks like greasy foam. You know.
Did you read? You must have been so upset. There was a lot of upset about it.
Okay.
About the New York Times. Which apparently discovered that there's good food in London now, beyond porridge and boiled mutton.
I'm sorry, London has more Michelin-starred restaurants than Paris.
Like what, they just tuned into like Marco Pierre White getting the 3-star restaurant like 27 years ago? Yeah. I mean, wake up.
This article was so offensive, apparently, to people in England from the New York Times. Robert Draper writing it. I guess he hadn't been to London, he says, in a long time.
He probably also doesn't like curry and probably doesn't like fish and chips.
Well, he's saying now how good the food is. But honestly, do you think even 10 years ago, people were eating porridge and boiled mutton in London?
Not unless they wanted to.
Well, no, I mean, think so.
Porridge actually for breakfast is a really good breakfast. Yeah. But you wouldn't go out to a restaurant and
eat it. No.
And boiled mutton, you know, it's not the best way to do mutton. Ideally, you should braise it and do it in a stew with bacon. But
British...
I think that's number 5 on the menu.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sorry. Admittedly, we had a bad end of the 20th century, what with rationing going on until 1957,
yes.
and we didn't really
Let's
recover.
Let's not forget, there was a war.
Yeah, you know, but British food is now, we can hold our head up anywhere else. And plus, as you say, we've got the curry factor and the fact that we've
accepted best Indian food
a whole bunch of cuisines because, let's face it, British food, traditional British food, you're not going to go out after a night in the town on a Friday and go to the scone shop and try, you know, get a jammy scone. You want a curry, you want a kebab, you want really good greasy food.
As long as we're talking about England, there's one other thing I meant to be talking to you about. Dental hygiene.
Oh, for goodness sake, not this again. Look, my teeth are perfectly... Although my dentist...
Wow.
I went for a tooth cleaning about 5 months ago with a new dentist.
He went
and
there.
She went, you have British teeth. And I thought, yeah, I've just been insulted there.
British teeth. You don't want British teeth. You want a Quip toothbrush. In fact, I'll be glad to get you one. You know, we're going to go on a trip. This is my last trip for a few weeks. We've got some great people filling in. Don't worry. But we were going to bring our regular toothbrushes, and I had a brilliant idea. I ordered two Quips for travel. This is the best electric toothbrush for travel, among other things, because it doesn't use a charger. It's battery powered, a single AAA battery, so it's very compact. I love it. It's got this sticky adhesive on one side, so you put it right on the mirror, so you never forget to brush, Ian.
I'm sorry, I'm being terribly slandered.
This is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Thousands of verified five-star reviews. The thing about this is, this is a system. See, in America, we don't just buy toothbrushes. We get a system.
You mean?
First of all, it's an electric toothbrush. And we all know electric toothbrush is better. My dentist, the other day, I had my teeth cleaned, and she said, you use an electric toothbrush, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. She said, very good job. I should have said, I use the Quip. The Quip is awesome. It makes brushing your teeth more simple and more enjoyable and more effective with their sonic, their sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough on your sensitive gums. You don't want to brush too hard. You don't want to wear away your teeth enamel. It has a 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds, so you know when to switch sides. 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. But here's what I love about the Quip. It's affordable. As little as $25, this is the best electric toothbrush you can get. It's awesome. We got his and her. They're so inexpensive, we're basically taking them on the trip and we're just going to leave them on the boat because we kind of come home to our regular toothbrush. What a great idea. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule, so you don't use the head too long. Every 3 months, you get a new brush. Just $5, that shipping is included. You don't want to use bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective. I love the packaging, too. It comes with a nice little booklet that teaches you how to brush. So if you have any friends who have questions, kids love it, too. In fact, we have extra Quips for Michael's friends when they come for sleepover. So for some reason, these teenage boys never bring toothbrushes. I don't know what it is. Quip is awesome. Here's how you get yours. Go to getquip.com/twit. And you'll get your first refill pack free when you purchase any Quip electric toothbrush. Getquip.com/twit. Quip starts at just $25. I love our Quip. And you know what? You have excellent teeth. So I know you are taking good care.
Reasonable care. I have English teeth. I didn't wear a, unlike most Americans, I didn't wear a brace when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, I didn't wear braces either. And now every kid wears braces for some reason. Actually, this is great for a child with braces. It's much easier to brush with a Quip. Getquip.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support. I'm sorry to use you as the butt of our...
No, that's fine. I don't resent it at all. You're a rebellious colonial. One day when the Queen comes back and this country is put under proper governance, then we'll be then the pitchforks will come out. But
all right, what else can I be up in arms about? I think I'm done with Facebook. I should leave. Should I leave Facebook? Leave Facebook.
Are we moving
alone
on to the next outrage?
Yeah, there's always one. Did you see this? This actually is very upsetting to me. There were a series of robberies in southern Maine, and the cops had no idea. So what they did, they went to a judge who signed a search warrant, which they sent to Google, and they said, would you please send us the name, address, and location of anyone who is in the vicinity of at least 2 of the 9 robbery locations within 30 minutes of the crime. Just everybody. This is not based on the fact that they knew the guy had an Android phone.
Right.
By the way, it's Android or iOS, because if you use
this
Google
is a
Apps.
Blatant data grab. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And they were trying to set up, you know, basically precedent in law so they could do this again.
The judge approved it.
I know.
Google said, I don't think so. The judge approved it again. Google said, I don't think so. They kept resisting, and eventually, look at this. Authorities found the guy, arrested him, not based on his location data from his phone. It actually was based on a footprint. He had run out of his shoes.
Oh, you mean like good old-fashioned police?
Old-fashioned police.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But you see the thing I'm afeard of. And look, I want to catch crooks as much as the next guy. What you don't want is law enforcement saying, oh, let's get a search warrant for everybody who was in the area. Let's get everybody's name, address, phone number, and let's just sift through that, see what we find. That's what they call a fishing expedition. And I thought it was unconstitutional. Maybe not.
It should be. I mean, this was, as you say, a blatant phishing attempt.
Yeah.
They were trying to... I mean, let's face it, the feds have sort of form on this sort of stuff. They tried it with the San Bernardino case, with Apple trying to backdoor encryption. They're trying this now with large-scale data scoops. They're going to keep on trying until they get what they want, which is access to all this information, no matter what.
Now, but here's the thing. I agree with both of you. I agree that this is an egregious violation of privacy. However, the government could have done this a different way. They could have just bought the information. This is the information that's for sale. There are at least 3 startups that are partly funded by the CIA. This is part of their tech incubator.
Securus.
This is the information that they buy so that they can provide real-time data graphics on what people are doing. Because they can say, oh, look, there's a group forming. So this is information that's already saleable. The reason why this made the news is because this kind of didn't pass the smell test. It wasn't being done for data analytics. It wasn't being done to sell something. It was being done because law enforcement said, we need an easier way to do our job.
So what you're saying is I could have gone to Facebook and said, I'd like to buy an ad for everybody who is within a mile of the convenience store on these days.
Did you hear us stopping last night? Yeah.
And see, that doesn't spark outrage. People are like, yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. But the government did it. Oh, well, you can't do that.
Debug in our chat room said, crime is a lot lower in a police state, but that doesn't mean I want to live there.
Precisely.
That's a very good point.
And this is the problem, is that I think...
So we've got to the point now where, and this is something Moxie Marlinspike said at RSA, the crypto panel at RSA a couple of years ago, you have to have the ability to break the law. Because when you think about it, civil rights, if the British had had the kind of data monitoring techniques in 1776 that are available
now. The Tea
now,
Party wouldn't have happened.
Well, I'm sorry, Jefferson and his ilk could have been up a rope with a hemp necktie. Yeah. You know, the civil rights movement wouldn't have happened if...
You're talking about civil disobedience.
Yeah, you've got to have the ability to break the law. And, you know, whether it's civil rights, whether it's in the last decade, it's gay rights, it's going to be privacy rights in the next decade. There's got to be a certain
amount
of...
That's how laws change, isn't it?
Yeah, laws change. Because if everyone just obeyed the law, then we'd ossify. No one would do anything. And it's got to be
You could see, though, that law enforcement looks at a smartphone and just thinks, everything I'd ever want to know is in there. Forget pre-crime. This isn't Minority Report. I know where everybody is at all times. I know who they texted. I know it's all in there. And it must drive them crazy that there's any restrictions at all on getting into this.
But police forces have been doing this stuff for 152
without
years. Without the smartphone. I don't see why we should give up our privacy.
That's the thing. The FBI has been complaining, and you hear this all the time about, well, you've got users who are going dark. It's like, no. It's not that they're going dark. It's that you now expect information that you never had access to before.
Exactly.
I've said this before, but I haven't said it to you. Phil Zimmerman was on, the creator of PGP. It's exactly what he said. The Zimmerman's Law says as technology advances, more and more opportunities for surveillance will exist. He says law enforcement has a big screen, HDR, 4K view of everything that's going on, and there's these little black pixels, just a few dark pixels, and it drives them crazy. It's not going dark. It's just it's not perfect. And, you know, I don't want to live in a country where law enforcement has a perfect view of everything that's going on. I think that sounds awful.
It's not an evolutionary state.
I don't want crime, and I want law enforcement to have tools. But I also don't want to live in a state where the state knows everything you're doing. That's 1984.
Yeah, and we're coming close to this, I see, with the
Australian look at this. So this is an existing law in Australia.
They just love it. They call it the Assistance and Access Bill. It sounds so cute and friendly and cuddly.
In the Crimes Act, under Australia's existing Crimes Act, this Assistance and Access Bill strengthens the penalties. It's already illegal for you not to unlock your phone for the police in Australia, apparently, under the Crimes Act. But now judges could jail, if this bill passes, a person for up to 2 years just for not unlocking the phone. And the bill extends that for up to 10 years. It's already 2 years. They want to extend it to 10 years. 10 years in jail, not because you committed a crime, but because you won't unlock your phone.
No. They made it illegal to not unlock your phone.
Well, that's been the case for a while.
Sure. And what happens is I'm refusing to unlock my phone. I get yanked into whatever they call the police stations in Australia. There's a discussion, which I'm sure is highly intellectual and
very
thoughtful between the arresting officer and myself.
You've been to Australia, right?
In the meantime, I played a lot of rugby with Australians. It left impressions. But at that point, what happens is that one of my associates, should I be someone who actually did something nefarious, has erased my phone remotely, possibly, or they want to make this so threatening that people that aren't afraid of 2 years. I mean, this is like a classic. Like, we're going to make life more complicated for everyone.
Look at this.
Also, they introduced with this bill, there's a 5-year prison sentence if you go whistleblower and report on an official government investigation on someone. So, I mean, okay, Reality Winners just got 5 years, but I mean, the Australian...
By the way, let's talk about that, because that seems to me criminal. What did Reality Winner do? She told the world that the Russians were hacking us.
Yeah, and for that she gets over 5 years in prison.
Which is, I think, the strongest penalty...
Well, you could argue Chelsea Manning, but...
It's definitely the strongest penalty in the Russian hacking affair.
Oh, certainly in the Russian hacking.
So the one who's gotten the biggest penalty so far is the one who told us,
needed to know. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that she got shafted by the journalists that she leaked to because they didn't handle it particularly well. But it's just shameful. I mean, the idea, basically, this that she can get 5 years in prison for doing something, for telling us something we should have known.
Why you want whistleblowers.
Yeah,
that's the point of
whistleblowers.
No, I understand. You need to, people who are given classified access to military information need to hold to a higher standard. But I even think in the military code, you're not asked to break the law because your commanding officer told you to do so. You're asked to say no and report it. And I think that works in
the military, but she's a contractor.
Right.
It's the Snowden problem. Everyone's like, well, why didn't he's an NSA employee. Why didn't he whistleblow? Because he was a contractor. He had no legal protections at all.
Right.
And we've seen how these people react against whistleblowers.
Yeah. I mean, and it's one of the things that Obama...
I'm not convinced they would have had protection either.
But it's also, there was something it really accelerated under Obama's tenure as president was just bringing down the stuff hammer on whistleblowers.
Using the Espionage Act, which is, it's the cudgeled club of legal, there's no rapier involved in that. It's as you say, this started under Obama and it's only getting worse.
Mm-hmm. This is from a Naked Security blog on Sophos.com. The flowchart in Australia for what they call the industry assistance process. So law enforcement first is to ask for assistance from the telecommunications industry. Okay. If does the agency require assistance, accessing communications content or data? Yes, then get a warrant. No? Well, maybe figure out if a warrant's required. Then they consult the provider. Does the provider want to provide voluntary assistance? Yes? Oh, good. No problem. No? Uh-oh. Is the provider currently capable? In other words, is it encrypted? We can't do anything. If so, agency and provider negotiate terms, conditions, and any costs. Agency gives provider a technical assistance notice. Yeah, you have to help. If they can't because it's encrypted, that's fine. Attorney General issues a proposed technical capability notice to the provider for consultation. In other words, they order them to break the crypto.
Yeah. Well, in a way, this is the problem. We've when it comes to encryption, we've won the battle and we've lost the war. In that I think now the
FBI... We have encryption.
Well, no, I think now that the governments have got to the idea that they've accepted that it's mathematically impossible to backdoor encryption in a way that only you can access. They've accepted that argument now. What they've instead decided...
Have they really?
I think they have.
Oh, hallelujah.
And I think what they've instead decided is, right, we'd actually need to break encryption. We just need to break the device. Yeah. So with the Australian law, if you want to sell a device or run a communication server in Australia and you get served with one of these notices, you have to give root access to that device to the government. So you forget about breaking encryption. You just give them the root to their phone or their computer instead. And that gets around all those mathematical problems of dealing with encryption and just basically everyone gets the shaft.
It's a difference between data at rest and data in transit. For the longest time, they thought that they should be able to get at data in transit because that's the way that they used to do it. They would tap someone and they could hear things happening in real time. I think they've understood maybe if they don't actually think that a backdoor encryption won't work. Mm. They at least know now that politically it's untenable.
But aren't they asking Facebook Messenger to give to wiretap Facebook?
Oh, they'll still carry on doing
it. What they really want is they want the data at rest because they realize the difference between data at rest and the data in transit is so minuscule. Why even try to do that?
I also have another theory that they have learned over experience that even if they can't get the data as it's coming, they can get it after egress from the encrypted. Mm. So they don't have to get Apple.
It has to be decrypted somewhere.
Yeah, they don't have to get Apple to cooperate. They just get it on its way. Yeah. Somewhere along the line, we can capture it. In fact, that's what was going on. The NSA was getting all of this data on the cross-country backbones, not from... They didn't have to ask Google for it. They just get it as it comes out of Google. No problem.
And that's why you've got devices like this. One of the things I've been playing around with this
That's made in China, dude. You don't have any security on your OnePlus.
This is made in China. However, it's got a feature that I want to see.
Which of your phones
more
was not made in China? Could you hold that up for me, Mr. LaForce?
No, but this has gradiated security. So... Right. I turned off the face recognition to get in the phone. Certain apps require the fingerprint. Certain apps require the PIN. But then there's also a hidden data partition. So inside the encrypted partition, there's an encrypted partition that you cannot access.
That's thanks to the Qualcomm 845.
Thank you. It uses the real-time encryption engine. No, but, you know, it's just...
Now that I said that, Qualcomm is a sponsor, and that's part of their ad. Okay, and they didn't pay for an ad on this show. They just got a free one.
They just got one. No, but it's this whole idea.
It's actually
it's reaching
Apple,
out to people
Apple
who
invented
want,
this, which is the secure enclave,
the secure enclave. It's the same thing as a secure enclave, but it's one step beyond that, which is... They won't even know it's there. It looks like you've given them access to your device.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, but the app is all, it's in the memory, but no one knows it's there.
Also, lest in America we get a bit too snug about this. You can the police can already, if you've just got a fingerprint lock on your phone, the police can already force you to put your fingerprint on that and unlock your phone. It's numerical passwords they can't get around.
In theory.
In theory, but then there's all this. Like,
so I'm traveling out of the country and into the country. I'm going to face... customs and Border Patrol both ways. What should I do with my electronics devices? You're going to be traveling in and out of
the country.
Well,
how hardcore do you feel?
Yeah.
Because I have friends who are security professionals that wipe everything, travel basically either with Linux or nothing on the laptop, which really pisses off.
You can get trouble for that.
Yeah, you can, because they literally, because they can't really boot anything because it goes up to BIOS. Yeah. So the next evolution was to put a stripped down operating system install. They show them the operating system, but all their files are stored
on a
server.
That's that plausible deniability. Right. TrueCrypt used to do that.
Yeah,
looks like normal files there,
But it literally, what they do is they basically travel with
suspicious.
A blank laptop,
You
know, or maybe, they open up an episode of Candy Crush Saga. Go through customs and then download everything they need from a server, in Switzerland or wherever.
So
they keep the data.
On all of my laptops, I always have it's like a BIOS password. I have a hard drive, but you can't get into the hard drive. The hard drive is encrypted. You can't get into it unless you enter a password before boot. You can't boot it without that.
Right.
Are they going to ding me for that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I have a travel profile. So when I travel, all my devices are set to the travel profile. There are things in the OneDrive. There are things in the Dropbox. It looks like it's been used, but it's not my real profile.
I have to say, because I'm an old white man, I've never been asked for this.
Makes one of us.
Every time I come back into the country.
I think I'm okay. Do you get it every time?
Every single time.
Priests are notorious for sneaking around. No, it's because you're Filipino, probably.
I'm Filipino.
Yeah. Well, that's sad. So you're saying if I were Father Robert and I had a password-protected hard drive, that would be a problem.
They would confiscate the device.
Yeah. They would take it?
If you do not give them the password, they can take your hardware, which is why the security professionals are traveling with basically blank computers, and then they get the information they need off of
not
storage
really blank.
In the cloud.
They put some innocuous stuff on it, so it looks like... they're doing something.
Once it's been taken by them, you can't really use that device with any degree of confidence.
Yeah, if it goes out of your sight,
you just assume.
Yeah, I mean, you can put malware into the battery firmware that's going to be absolutely undetectable anyway. So
love that.
Yeah, it's a great hack, but you know,
this is theoretical, though, right? This is
for some people, it depends on who you are and what you're doing,
right? Hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of stuff was theoretical, but it's like OPM gets, hammered for the entire contents of every... Like, my wife got a notice as a contractor for a subcontractor, got a notice to basically say, that whole thing where you gave us all this information, it went to China, sorry. You know what I mean? Literally...
Fingerprints, even.
Fingerprints. Everything that was in that database got exported because of the security. There's... I would almost be, there are people who work certainly in government. There are people who work for agencies that are worried about, I can't imagine what known engineers for Apple do if they have to leave the country. Certainly they have nothing on their computers. You know what I mean? Like this, the level, you or me, there's nothing we have on our laptops that we should be hiding at this point, unless you have some sort of nefarious activity I don't know about.
Well, it depends what they think. How about a Bitcoin wallet? Would that be considered nefarious?
I don't know. It depends.
Only if it's from McAfee and the BitFi.
Well, I've got contacts on my phone that I don't want the government to see. These people.
You're a journalist for very good reasons. Yeah. You don't want government access to.
Well, you've got a responsibility to your contacts, not to put
sources.
Them at risk.
Yeah. And you, by the way, I always thought you had a legal right to that. I guess not.
No.
Everything, but it's also everything gets interesting at the edges. So as soon as you go from, a lot of things that you are perfectly well protected on in the center of the country. As soon as you leave the country, I mean, one of the worst roustings I've ever gotten, not that I've traveled that much internationally, but one of the worst roustings I have ever gotten, worse actually than when I got pulled out of line and shaken down in East Germany when I was in high school, was just going into Canada to meet up with you.
I knew you were going to
say Canada.
The most aggressive searches I've ever had were in, were coming from Canada back to the States.
These stories about, I thought Canadians were supposed to be polite.
No,
like I'm in full, like I'm anywhere near like any kind of border crossing. I'm in full military courtesy mode. I am yes sir, no ma'am. I am super chill. Like whatever the like the most toned down clothing I have is on me. I'm wearing shoes. My toes are covered. I'm looking like all kinds of respectable. And I just remember this guy kept coming at me going into.
I remember that. I used to go through that every
month. And it, to the point where I was actually starting
to end up getting a letter. Well,
I had back to back trips. I came back from Syria and I was like, oh, I'm going to get hassled. I went straight through. I'm like, wow. The next week I was in Canada, I came through. They looked through every piece of equipment. They had me turn on the camera, look through the files. On the, I was like, what the heck? Yeah. Mm. I didn't get the scrutiny coming back from a known supporter of terrorism that I did coming back from the land of syrup.
I have to ask, do you wear the collar when you're going through?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Because the collar was 100% guaranteed to get stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because if I were a bad guy, I'd wear a collar.
So I don't do it anymore.
You should have worn a burqa.
No, it looks like it's a disguise.
It does.
They think, oh, yeah, that guy. He's a disguise. That's a disguise.
That's just insane.
We live in interesting times, buddies.
Yeah. And I've got to say, the land of the free trademark is looking increasingly less so. But, you know.
It's we'll a pendulum. Talk about, it swings.
Yeah.
It seems like it's been swinging this way for a while. I'm a little nervous.
I remember the Reagan years. It swung back.
I don't know. See, I think
the ship of state's kind of.
It always feels like it's not going to swing back, but right. it does.
Yeah, we'll one can hope.
Yeah. The problem is, and I, in my opinion, each time it swings to the more repressive, it opens avenues that didn't exist before. So it gets easier and easier for it to go that way. And I have to say, even President Obama did exactly
that. Yes, he did.
By making it easier and easier to prosecute whistleblowers and things. And that means the next time it swings a little farther.
Yeah,
farther.
Exactly. That was one of the most depressing things about, from a data perspective, about the Obama presidency was that, you know, it got worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, there wasn't, you'd think there'd be some kind of balance involved considering who was involved. But no, I mean, it swung and they were just like, give us this stuff.
Yeah, and that particular pendulum has not swung.
No. I mean, when you think when Snowden came out with his things, that would have caused, you know, revive, as we did with Watergate, we must revive the laws and we must, you know, build the rule of law. And so, no, they just legalized it. Yeah, it's just like, oh, we were grabbing all that data, technically illegal, I suppose. Oh, just pass this law. Yeah, okay, it's now all legal. Never mind. And we didn't get any better.
Let's take a little break. Father Robert Ballester is here on his way to the Vatican, where he is on assignment. On assignment. But it's great to have you one last time in our studio, Jesuit.org. At Padre SJ, you will tweet, right?
I will tweet. I will be doing content. I just kind of have to figure out my actual job. Right. Before I start doing the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Also, there's pastors to be had, so, you know. Yeah.
There's pastors to be had. That is, of course, from the register.co.uk, my good friend Ian Thompson. Always welcome in our studios, that's for sure. In fact, all of you are, I think, close friends. It's really wonderful to have you here, Ian. News editor at the Register. Best Register headline ever.
Oh, which one was that?
I don't think I can say it. Polite company.
You can't.
We'll
lose our rating.
I encourage you, if you enjoy excellent headline writing, theregister.com.uk, and excellent writing in general, but the headlines sometimes are...
Sometimes salacious, sometimes...
Feisty.
Feisty is a good word for it, yeah. We have fun with them. I mean, every journalist will try and get their headline up on the site, but it's the editors who will decide. And, you know, when you actually get one that you put forward in there, it's just like, yes.
I wonder if I should mention it.
Is it the leaking one?
No, as porn sites.
Yeah. Why don't you take care of the advertiser first? Yeah. Contemplate the future of the network.
I'll just show you guys,
and then you
and
can
everybody
come back
else can
to that.
Figure it out.
Have the moment that
Kieran McCarthy obviously has a sense of humor.
Oh well, Kieran's been working for the site on and off for 20 years. But yeah, that was
this is as bad as I've ever seen it.
Oh, I don't know. Did you not see the one when the Twitter CEO swapped round and it was jacks off to...
No.
It's an art form.
Also here from Tech Thing. Almost had said Techzilla. TechThing.com. Patrick Norton.
Hey.
And he was always also very welcome in studio. One of the original twits back to the very first episode. So that's pretty something.
So many years ago.
Yeah, 14 years ago now. Almost 14.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Blink of an eye.
Blink of an eye.
Slightly younger than my marriage.
That's right. That's right. And even then, I posted pictures of your marriage illegally on the internet.
Yeah, Sarah was a little ticked about that.
Was she? I thought so. I never got her to say so, but I realized I probably shouldn't have done that.
It was the particular selection of... It was
she didn't like the pictures I put
it was, up? It was not so much the selection of pictures, but that there were like 26 of them, and they all ended up on a guy's site in Oklahoma
what?
To promote. He used it as an anchor to gain traction in Google rankings for his eBay listing. It's okay. Great. Eventually, I said something very...
libelous?
No, but not particularly.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
I suggested that I may be traveling to that part of Oklahoma and visiting the address on the.
I'm bringing my sledgehammer.
Bringing my wife, much more scary than
even
my sledgehammer.
Scarier, yeah.
As my wife is fond of saying, you know, she taught karate for several years and has impulse control issues and is quick to get angry.
Yikes.
She's like, I don't understand why people are worried about you. I'm the one with the impulse control issues and the anger management problem.
Please apologize to Sarah for me.
No,
14 years later.
No, you're fine.
No one will know who the shadowy figure with a chainsaw was.
Our show today brought to you by My Dinner. I love it when we've got Blue Apron waiting at home because I know I've got everything I need to make an amazing gourmet meal in half an hour to 45 minutes. Blue Apron is awesome. Number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Skip meal planning, get straight to cooking with Blue Apron. All you got to do, once a week, I go to the Blue Apron site, I pick our menu for the week. Blue Apron delivers perfect, fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and the step-by-step recipes. They show up on my doorstep, and I am ready to cook. And we usually get three meals a week. It's awesome. You can choose two, three, or four recipes based on what best fits your schedule. Of course, you can put it on hold at any time. We will for our vacation. You can count on non-GMO ingredients, meat with no added hormones, really delicious stuff. And I am still, this is actually when I cooked this week. I'm still loving the summertime. We're coming kind of the end, right? Experience the joy of summer, mouth-watering grilling options. I do the grilling stuff always. Seared chicken with a tangy barbecue sauce. That was so good. Juicy cheeseburgers with spicy slaw. The side dishes often for me are the real inspiration. There's things that I will cook again and again. The Blue Apron menu changes every week. It's always based on what's in season, right? Be sure to check out the menu for their chef-designed recipes and exciting partnerships. Are you ready for this? Bob's Burger. Bob's Burger and MasterChef. The Gouda Wife Burger from Bob's Burger.
Yes!
The Gouda Wife Burger. Cheeseburgers with cucumber radish salsa. If you're Bob's Burger fans, this is like
it's
heaven!
Epic. It's epic.
It's epic! For grilling, Tuscan pork chops with farro. And marinated mozzarella, that's a perfect example. I'd never had farro before until I got Blue Apron, and now I cook it all the time. Vaduvan shrimp and sweet chili sauce with aromatic rice and almonds. Great for date night. Great to turn your family on to cooking. If you've got kids, families with Blue Apron cook together more often. The kids can't help it. They smell something amazing. They come in, they say, what's for dinner? And then they go, and I say, oh, this is great. You can help. Just go over there, start turning the shrimp or whatever. And it really gets them into cooking. They have vegetarian choices as well, sweet and spicy soba noodles with cabbage, cucumbers, and fried eggs. Vegetarians will love that. They're no longer, you know, kind of getting the side dishes. They're getting something delicious just for them. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. BlueApron.com/twit. We love our Blue Apron every week. And it's so much fun to cook for somebody you love, to cook a delicious meal for your family and have them enjoy it. And 15 minutes later, they left, and you have to wash the dishes. But those 15 minutes are great.
The cook never washes the dishes.
No, I know.
That's a rule.
But it is a little sad, because when you make something that delicious, they eat it really fast. It's like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah. It's got to be one of the most depressing jobs, really, chef. You slave over something.
I don't
know.
Yeah, they do. No, even worse. You slave over someone and says, do you have any ketchup?
No, that's not allowed in my house. BlueApron.com/twit. Your first three meals are free. Blue Apron's a better way to cook. This is a story that's been breaking all afternoon. I don't have the details on it, but our hearts and thoughts and prayer, not that. Although that's interesting, too. Go out to our viewers and listeners in Jacksonville, Florida. Another mass shooting, this time at a Madden NFL tournament in Jacksonville.
I saw the news coming up this morning.
And we don't have the details, so I don't want to talk too much about the details.
11, I think.
Some killed. The sad thing, and I hope this isn't true, but I saw at least some evidence that it was somebody who lost one of the games. He was armed.
Rage.
Very, very sad. Just tragic. So, once again...
Let's not mention the whoever's name it is.
No, just, I don't.
Nope, no, they get no time.
I don't. We've just decided now, the last one, the Las Vegas shooting, just not even going to mention
I hate it when
names.
Their picture's blazing over there. They talk to family and friends. They lionize the person.
It's statistically proven to cause more shootings as
terrible.
Well. So, just some
No, mention the victims. Show the victims. Yeah. Talk about the victims. The people who's lost lives, limbs... family members who lost their loved ones. That's the real story, not the person who did it. That's
exactly.
Not the person who did it. Location history. Let's talk about Google. We were talking about Google and location history. As you know, the AP did a, I thought, fairly interesting story, which exposed... Hmm. Now, the thing is, I have mixed feelings about this. I kind of almost got in a fight with Steve Gibson over it. So I'm going to let you adjudicate. Here's what the AP said. They actually hired somebody at Princeton to prove this, that even if you turn off location collection on your phone, actually, we should be very clear in our verbiage, location history on your phone, Google will still figure out where you are and save it to their servers. If you open Maps, for instance... Mm. Or Safari, or the browser Chrome, for instance. Because now, here's what I would say, and I got yelled at. Well, duh, there's a difference between I don't want you to keep a location history of me, everything I'm doing as I use my phone, and but I would like to have Maps work. Well, of course, as soon as you open Maps, it's going to send to Google servers where you are, download the map, and even keep track of that so you can go back. Same thing with search, and I would further say you could turn it off. The problem is Google didn't make it easy to turn it off.
They made it Orwellianly difficult.
Okay.
If you go to location history and say, no, I don't want you to track, they'd still track you. If you wanted to get rid of the tracking functions, you had to go into web and app activity options and go and drill down right to the specific level you wanted. This is, just like, well, you can do it. It's like, well, this is the equivalent of, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy having the plans in a filing cabinet in a dark cellar with Beware of the Leopard written on the front of it.
I agree they should have made it easier.
Yeah.
But I also understand why location history does not equal turning off all location information.
On one hand, I get where you're coming from. On the other hand, they literally, they put it under, It's just, so if you're on Android, right, your Google account, data and personalization, web and app activity, and it's very easy to turn it off. Then you just, hit the button or the slider and you turn it off. But web and app activity does not really imply we are going to
location.
Keep a very detailed tracking of the location of your phone the entire time you use it.
That's what Steve Gibson said. He said, "There's, of course, you open a map, you know you're going to be sending location back to Google. That's obvious. But there's no reason Google should be saving that.
Right.
No. Well, okay, there's a very good reason, money. But,
aside from their own business interest.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but I feel like maybe there is a technical reason why they need to. I mean, they're logging it. If you're doing search, Google says, well, if people search for pizza places, what they mean is pizza places near me, not just they don't want Manhasset pizza places or pizza places in Timbuktu. They want
Great.
Pizza places
then why
here.
Why is it accessible later on? How long do they need
exactly.
to keep
that's
it?
That's a legitimate question. And I couldn't. And that's what Steve was saying. Okay, fine. You can get it, but it should go away. It shouldn't be preserved. I feel like there's technical reasons why they're preserving it.
There is. And it's okay. Let's put aside any of the theories about, well, it's because they can sell it. It's because they're trying to make a better app. If you're using the Google Maps app, which I do all the time, it knows where my home is.
Right.
It knows where my work is. When I start typing an address that I've been to before, it will pop in. And I kind of expect that. In fact, it would upset me if I have to type in the address every single time.
I find it a little creepy, but that's because
I understand what's going on in the background. Right. And I think there's a lot of people who don't actually understand what they're doing when they're typing that into their phone.
So it seems to me what Google should do is just be clearer in its description and give you a button that says, I don't want any location information at all going to Google.
There was an article I tweeted out earlier this week. Douglas C. Schmidt, professor of computer science at Vanderbilt University, digitalcontentnext.org/blog, Google data collection research. So a dormant, I'm going to quote from some of the key findings. A dormant stationary Android phone with the Chrome browser active in the background communicated location information to Google 340 times during a 24-hour period, or an average of 14 data communications per hour. In fact, location information constituted 35% of all the data samples sent to Google. For comparison's sake, a similar experiment found that an iOS device with Safari but not Chrome, Google could not collect any appreciable data unless a user was interacting with the device. Moreover, an idle Android phone running the Chrome browser sends back to Google nearly 50 times as many data requests per hour as an idle iOS phone running Safari. An idle Android device communicates with Google nearly 10 times more frequently as an Apple device communicates with Apple servers. These results highlighted the fact that Android and Chrome platforms are critical vehicles for Google's data collection. Again, these experiments were done on stationary phones with no user interactions. If you actually use your phone, the information collection increases with Google.
But to point out, these were also not phones where location history was turned off.
Right.
I mean, these were just with standard defaults. So nobody had made any request to Google not to collect this information. But I agree with you. Google clearly wants to know more about you. And, in fact, why else is Android out
there? They want to know everything about you.
That's why Google puts out Android.
But, I mean, okay, quick roundtable thing. I keep my location turned off unless I absolutely need
Really?
GPS turned off unless I absolutely need it. I take it you don't. I take it you do.
Oh, I leave it on all the time.
I'm back and forth. Mostly I leave it on because I use GPS constantly.
Right.
But, yeah, I it depends on how tinfoil hatty I'm feeling.
It's off security for me. So a lot of times when I'm traveling, I can't.
If I were doing what you do, I would probably have it off all the time. Yeah. You know, I'm not running into a lot of situations where I have to worry about people tracking sources or stuff like that. So it's not as, you know.
It's just, also, I don't like giving that information up. If they want to pay me for it, maybe.
Yeah, that's a philosophical thing. And by the way,
privacy is philosophical.
Well, no.
We've given up any expectation of privacy.
I don't mind giving up that information because I get something of value. I don't get paid for it, but I get, you know, for instance, when I get to the airport on Wednesday, Google's going to pop up a card with my ticket. That I don't mind that. Now, by the way, if you go to myactivity.google.com, you will see how the detail that Google gathers in. This is my activity.
And I can even the Galapagos.
Yeah. Well, now you know. These are places I've been that Google knows because I carry an Android phone and an iPhone, and the iPhone has location as well. And I can go to any particular year.
I notice you are hiding Russia from that map, comrade.
And I could say, where were you on June 16th, 2015? And here's, by the way, this looks exactly like today, my trip from home to work and back.
Now, don't you find that deeply creepy?
No. Because I understand,
but you live a much more open life, I think, than anyone else sitting at this table.
Well, and the other thing I would say is, even if you didn't find that creepy, there are things Google can infer from. For instance, if you and a person that you like end up at a location and stay there for 6 hours, Google might make some inferences from that. There's a great book about all of this written by my friend. Rob Reed, who at the beginning of the scene of the book, it's called, it was After On, I think it's called. At the beginning in the scene of the book, coworkers are all gathering together, and one of them gets a pop-up for a coupon for a drink, an adult beverage. Mm. And then another one gets a pop-up for, you know, since your team is all together now, you should be getting Slack or whatever. And, of course, all of those inferences can be made if it's not just me, but it's a database of information about a lot of people.
Right.
All sorts of things can be inferred. And maybe I'll get, you know, invitations for wedding locations if I spend enough time with a
person. And if you're in Silicon Valley, maybe a headhunter will show up.
Yeah.
To jack up the paranoia a little bit, on my personal account, if you look at the location data that is being gathered, most of the places are places I'm not at.
What are you doing?
I have devices in certain places.
You have
that,
fuzzing
devices?
Exactly.
I'm basically flooding the service with a bunch of false data.
I'd expect that of you, Father Robert.
But I mean, that's just one of the... It's like, okay, you want to track me? Go ahead. Let's see if you can make any sense out of the data you're getting.
Although I would say...
I like that.
The fact that Google makes this information available to me on myactivity.google.com and I can see all this stuff Google knows about me, that makes me feel better. It's not like they're hiding it.
Right. They're being very public about it.
Yeah.
And I that's the thing I always tell people. I don't preach about, oh, turn off your devices. It's... Go to myactivity.google.com. If you're not okay with what you see there, then you need to take your privacy.
Facebook doesn't do that. Apple doesn't even do that. I mean, Google tells you what it knows about you and gives you the chance to delete it, presuming that they are actually deleting it and they're telling the truth, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I trust Google more than I trust Facebook on this, but even so, I don't trust them worth a damn.
Why is that? I think I trust Google way more than I trust Facebook or Twitter or any of the social media services, but should I? Is that earned?
It's true. I mean, basically, because my experiences with Facebook execs tend to be they're all about growing the platform and not about thinking about it so much. Whereas I find with Google people, they do think a little bit more about what they're doing, and they're aware that they are legally. I mean, they've just been hit by $5 billion in fines in the EU. They're more aware that hey, this could cost us some serious money. Whereas Facebook hasn't been seriously slapped down yet.
Yeah,
and they've come out the Cambridge Analytica.
Is that what you're using that essential phone? Is that what you're doing with the essential phone? You're having it travel all around the world, maybe, pretending it's you.
Actually, I'm in Rome right now.
Yeah,
I'm driving around right now.
You put it in the back of a car.
Kind of like that, yeah.
I think it's true that if you showed this to a person on the street, my activity, and said, look what Google's collected from you today, they might be freaked out.
Yeah, I mean,
so maybe Google needs to be more forthright about this. I don't mind because it's useful. Now I know, you know, I visited Patrick Norton's Twitter a few minutes ago. I know the news stories I read. I know where I've been, what I've been doing, the audiobooks I just downloaded. Oh my God.
I'm in Tracy right now.
I'm just,
are you really?
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know what I'm doing there.
What? But, oh my goodness. No, I'm just not going to say it.
Well, you probably don't want to show your activity to other people. Let's put it
No. All your mapping stuff that you put on air just then.
Well, I realize I put my home address up on the screen. That's all right.
Well, not entirely. Not the I mean, GPS.
It's not like it's all friends here.
You take a different route every way home to avoid someone, you know. What? Yeah. I mean, it's...
There's really only two routes you could take to his home.
Yeah, there's the operational security in your situation is going to be enormously difficult.
I love it that some general a couple of weeks ago said, what? Soldiers are running around with watches that are telling Strava their location?
Yeah.
What? That's not prohibited? And so he put out an order saying, you probably shouldn't be doing that.
That was just a classic case, though, of unintended consequences. Yeah. People just didn't think. The device manufacturer hadn't locked it down. The soldiers using it didn't think. And, there's a base in Djibouti.
Even an NSA analyst, you could figure out what his home address was from his publicly published information on either with Strava or MyFitness, one of the apps.
But this data is all out there. I did a story from...
Well, and that's kind of my larger point, which is you may not care if people know your route home, but it's the in aggregate, like all of the soldiers running around this secret base, that this data can actually have some real dangerous
We got that with Pokemon Go, remember? Yeah. They were able to figure out
another one
where the
of
bases
my
were because
games.
There was no Pokemon Go activity in this like 5-mile by 5-mile square. It's like, oh... Okay, but I can't go there.
I covered this at DEF CON. Right now, you can find the location of California Highway Patrol vehicle. It is broadcasting its location unencrypted with default passwords on the login page. Yeah. Same with the National Police of Denmark, playing with South Wales Police in the UK. This stuff is being broadcast all the time, and you've just got to know where to look for it.
By the way, I just realized not only did I reveal my home address, but that I won't be home for 3 weeks. Maybe that wasn't
but
the smartest.
You got the Rottweiler,
but Burke will be there.
I got
you
a little,
don't want to deal with.
I got a little soccer playing robot keeping an eye on.
Bink. I'm telling. Dress it up like Chucky. No one will come close to your house.
Somebody is staying at our house the whole time. I just
it's
want
Burke.
To say that it isn't Burke. Actually,
it's a heavily alarmed retired Marine
with anger issues. Yeah.
No, that's my wife. Leave the Marines out of this.
Well, I guess we're going to... one of the reasons I leave every year in September is I don't want to be around for the big iPhone announcement.
Ugh. But you are going to pre-order, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, there you go.
So we're trying to... Everybody's trying to figure out. Apple hasn't sent out invites yet. I'm trying to figure out because I want to know if I, you know, what exactly where I'll be when the hammer comes down.
Is it still like $43 a minute to use the internet on a cruise ship?
Yeah.
Leo spends $800 ordering a $1,200
iPhone. I have one of these
Skyrooms.
Do you prepay for your internet access on the ship?
I don't use the ship. The ship's internet access.
It's horrible.
It's not internet
access.
It's horrible. There's one, I should say, there is one cruise line that has amazing internet access, the Royal Caribbean line.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we were on the Anthem of the Seas, which is basically a floating apartment building.
There's four or five of
those. They're all floating apartment buildings.
It's 5,500 passengers, but oddly enough, it had better internet than my house. They have this thing called Voom, and I think it's a dedicated satellite per ship, and they're doing a lot.
Multiple 10 gig connection over satellite.
It's amazing. Yeah. But that's the everybody
the
else. It's like welcome to the 1980s.
I was going to say, what about the upload
speed? The lag's
speed?
Not that bad, actually. It's pretty good.
What about upload speed?
What do you upload from a ship?
Photos.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Actually, one thing that kills speed on those cruise ships is people forget to turn off all the syncing options on their phones.
Oh,
They're taking all these pictures and videos, and suddenly it just kills
So I'm bringing the Skyrim, which is an LTE puck.
Oh, you use that?
Yeah, I love
it. How is it?
Okay. $99. So there's two ways to pay for it. It's a little expensive. The day pass is $8 or $9 a day. Mm. But it's unlimited for up to five devices. It's still a pretty good deal compared to what Verizon would charge. But for $99, you get a month. So we're going to be gone long enough. Pay $99, unlimited data for five devices.
Excellent.
Can I put a public service announcement to any engineers for cruise ships?
Yes.
Okay, so if you are designing a network for a cruise ship and you have jacks in the rooms so that the TV can access the on-demand entertainment center, a VLAN is not security. That does not separate me from the internet, does not separate me from the system that gives internet access.
I'm impressed that they've got a VLAN.
I know. But so you
how do you cross a VLAN?
They didn't tag anything. If you know there's a VLAN, you can actually scan to see which VLAN tags are coming through the switch, and you just keep switching VLAN tags until you find
the
one that's
VLAN.
Not very good.
You're
security.
The kind of person that gives hotel IT stuff.
You were just on a cruise.
Just on a cruise.
What cruise line was that?
Carnival.
Yeah. They own them all.
Oh, by the way, the ship I was on, it's the sister ship for a very famous cruise liner known as the Costa Concordia. The one that fell over. Yeah. And it's also the one that caught on fire off the coast of San Diego and got stranded for 3 days. But it was fun. It was actually... they had an explosion on board 2 days before we came on.
You know, it's a treat.
With the added bonus of possible nonavirus poisoning
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. It's like a disaster cruise.
I'm just excited. Skyrim just solved a whole bunch of problems for me.
Oh yeah, this is good.
Hey,
well, I've been sitting on like it got upgraded to 50 gigs, but I've been sitting on an AT&T plan because of the data. Every so often I do like 30 gigs in a month over the phone, and now
I'll be glad to lend it to you when we're not traveling.
I'm fascinated by this.
So I'll be back on the 22nd. If you want to borrow it, please do.
Absolutely. Carriers do not want high data customers anymore, and they do not want to give you access to
data. I have Google Fi, which in theory gives you unlimited data. Mm. You get the same price, $10 a gigabyte you pay at home. It's not very fast. I think they ride on that T-Mobile, 2G, 3G.
T-Mobile Sprint network.
I also have T-Mobile, 2G, 3G.
It's enough for email.
But T-Mobile, and I'll report back, has a new plan. You pay $25 a month, and they give you LTE as you travel.
Ooh.
Unless I misunderstood that.
Because I'm on T-Mobile, and that was the big advantage for me going back home, is that I got free data. And, it was 2.5G data, but I still got it free. Getting LTE would be very nice indeed, but
now I'm very nervous that I didn't that I bought it. And I should probably find out if I bought what I thought I bought.
But come back to what you were saying about sort of hacking around in hotel suites. I don't know if you saw some of the tweets that were coming out on DEF CON. Where it was
the
just
thermostat?
Like, yeah, the thermostat. It's just like, we found out the password.
That took all of 30 minutes when people started arriving.
What happened?
They figured out how to hack the thermostat so that you could remove the low temperature setting.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want your room to be 40 degrees? Well, we'll show you how to do that.
Well, if you want your room to be below whatever they set it to.
Hotels must hate DEF CON.
This is why they were throwing people out at this year's show, which was a major disaster.
What happened? They threw people out for what?
This is a
long time. That was a weird one. Wednesday.
Yeah. By the way, anybody know my T-Mobile password? I think 2.5 million people got leaked, and I can't remember. I might be one of them. What's my...
But no, on the Wednesday night, Mark Linton from senior Google engineer made a slightly off-color tweet about why would you bother hacking people at DEF CON when all the people with the power, you would want to hack a black hat.
He used attack.
Yes,
I would attack.
He did use attack.
Which we understand what that means.
Yeah.
Law enforcement in Las Vegas, not so much with a sense of humor.
So Las Vegas police called his hotel, got his contact details, went and had a chat with him. It was all resolved amicably. He put out an apology tweet. They retweeted it and favored it. And then at midnight, he was chucked out of his Caesar's Palace hotel room and banned from the facility, which when you're trying to get to DEF CON is a bit of a handicap.
Yeah.
And they've now got this policy where they're really cracking down on this stuff. And also, if you have the Do Not Disturb sign on your door for more than 24 hours, you're going to get the door opened by security and searched.
They did not get me.
Were you staying at a Caesar's property?
I was staying at a Caesar's property. Mm. But a friend of a friend had people pounding on the door while they were trying.
So, they overcome that.
In response to the attack by the spineless scumbag in Las Vegas, they've decided if they haven't seen your room in 24 hours, if you read through the fine print far enough, they now have permission to enter your room to do wellness check.
Oh, yeah.
So a friend of mine was like, well, who puts their do not disturb tag on for more than 24 hours?
The whole
week. And I was sitting at a table and every single hand went up.
No one comes into my room on DEF CON. Are you kidding me?
Or at CES. I'm like,
you know what you do? You just make a little arm that will remove one drink at a time from the mini bar every few hours.
It gets worse because they said, we came in, but they just looked to make sure everything was okay. Then they left. Well, of course,
people
it's DEF CON
had stuff
is DEF CON.
Moved.
Yeah. They had cameras.
Yeah,
in
people
the
had cameras of their bags being searched by security.
What?
Security,
yeah. Taking photos of piles of alcohol and going, I'm just going to Snapchat this.
Exactly.
Yeah. People were. You got to remember, there's no control to the axis of the elevator at Caesar's.
Yeah.
So anybody wearing whatever
a jacket,
color
security jacket.
Well, yeah, they were. Security's wearing like what do you call those things? A polo shirt.
Yeah. You can buy in the shop.
Yeah. So people, but in several cases, they came in on somebody while they were sleeping. They came in somebody while they were in the shower. Yeah. So, what are you gonna like?
Is this a Caesar's thing or a Vegas?
This is
thing?
Just
It's a Caesar. Well, so you got to remember, Caesar's Palace, Planet Hollywood. There's
Flamingo,
a whole bunch of the
Bally's,
Cromwell.
They own all the properties.
But I won't be staying there anymore.
The question is,
we stay at MGM properties. Do they do that?
We don't know because this just happened to be the cross. Cross section of a metric ton of privacy.
We were at Planet Hollywood last time.
Of privacy sensitive individuals with the rollout of this new policy. So imagine if
that's really bad timing.
I'm a 230-pound ex-rugby player. I've had someone pounding on my door and been freaked out in Vegas. Because one time, it was a 200-pound guy on meth who thought, I guess his girlfriend was in there. That was one of my less favorite, Vegas stories during CES. I don't think I've ever talked about that one. So imagine if you're a 125-pound female with two guys pounding on your door demanding entrance, and you're trying to call the front desk, and the front desk is like, well, I think we have a new security policy.
Are they wearing security shirts? It's like, well, no.
What does that mean?
But, I mean, Katie Mazouras had that exact scenario. Yeah. And she was on speakerphone down to reception saying, can you...
And she's telling them, I'm trying to verify your identity, and they're banging on her door.
And they're going full aggro.
Yeah. I mean, Mandalay Bay is apparently checking long bags, which is fair enough. But having someone come into...
Vegas. Come stay downtown.
I'm going to stay with your family
My
family.
In Henderson.
No one searches my mom searches my room.
Robert. So this is, I don't know if this is, I saw this on the website. This is T-Mobile. They call it T-Mobile One Plus International. You have to have the T-Mobile One stuff. You get free go-go Wi-Fi. You get unlimited 4G LTE data in Canada and Mexico.
So basically you get more unlimited data in Canada and Mexico than you do in the United States.
And then, maybe this is only Canada Mexico. Yeah. I don't know.
That's pretty good. $25.
They say international, but is it only Canada and Mexico?
Does that pass for international in this country?
Actually, coming back from Long Beach yesterday, I saw a billboard, a T-Mobile plan. It's specifically for visitors, for tourists. 3 weeks, unlimited everything, $30. That's
but I mean unlimited means unlimited up to a point, and then we reserve the right to throw it.
Well, I checked that. No, it's unlimited.
Wow.
Ooh.
It says here on all T-Mobile plans during congestion, the small fraction of customers using greater than 50 gigabytes a month.
Oh, so they upped it.
May notice reduced speeds until the next bill cycle.
50 gigabytes a month. That's come awful. On. That's a lot of data. Decent.
And it doesn't count on network traffic, so YouTube doesn't count.
I swear cuz I was shopping around T-Mobile and a couple other things like that was 25 gigabytes a month like 3 weeks ago.
Right. Yeah.
So that may be a moving target.
Are you traveling soon?
Me? No, yeah. I'm looking to get us off of AT&T.
Oh, good plan. Yeah.
I mean the data and the speed's phenomenal, but
I like T-Mobile. If you don't mind their security policies.
Yeah. I got to say, I've locked down my account since the SIM hijacking or thing, but I've just spent a few days in the mountains with no internet access at all, and my goodness, that was fun.
I'm all prepaid,
like, though. You're just like, I want to check my... Oh, I can't. There is literally no internet here, which is... For a European, it's weird because, you know, you've got to work really hard not to get cell phone access in Britain or Europe. And over here, 3 hours drive into the mountains, it's like, I've got nothing.
Oh, I can tell you where to go 25 minutes north of San Francisco and be out of signal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm prepaid on this, so it doesn't have my real name. It doesn't have a real credit card number. It doesn't have a real address. And it cost me $30 a month. I've had it for 8 years now, I think.
You're going to get a black bag over your head the second you leave this studio and be in Guantanamo Bay before you know what happens.
Or that guy in Tracy, maybe.
I still don't have a device in Tracy. I don't know what's going on with that one.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you wouldn't look good in orange.
No. Orange makes you look fatter. Black is slimming.
Yeah. It's not so bad. I'm thinking about Guantanamo. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love dogs, but I get in that kind of situation. You're an angry dog, aren't you? Oh, you're going to tear my face off. You know?
I think this is a British thing, really, though. Something's happening right now.
Oh, you're an angry dog, aren't you? You are.
Oh, come on. I'm British. I don't make eye contact with people or talk to them on the street. But if there's a dog on, it's like, you're a cute pupper, aren't you? Yes, you are.
Let's take a little break. We had a good week this week, and I believe that we have a specially prepared movie for your enjoyment. Watch.
Previously on Twit.
Nothing made me sadder than having to go to Staples yesterday and buy two scientific calculators.
They could have an HP 35 on their iPhone if they wanted.
Mm-hmm. It felt good to buy something from
Casio.
That's
T-Mobile One Plus.
They were Casio. I just felt like I pretended I was buying
it. Nice.
Yeah.
Triangulation.
There's a guy everybody in Silicon Valley idolizes, loves, respects Bill Atkinson, the legend who created the Apple Lisa, QuickDraw, Mac Paint, HyperCard.
Wow. Steve dedicated one entire day to recruiting me. He said, think how fun it is to surf on the front edge of a wave and how not fun to dog paddle on the tail end of the same wave. 2 weeks later, I had quit my neuroscience program.
Wow.
Never finished my degree.
Wow.
And I was working at Apple.
The new screensavers.
That's Jillian Ogle. She's the founder and CEO of Let's Robot, a platform where anyone can take control of other people's homebrewed robots over the internet. Jillian said it's okay for me to refer to this as kind of like Twitch for robots.
Yeah, so one of the first robots I made was I called it the bit slapper. Yeah. People would donate bits and then the hand would slap me in the face as soon as they donated. And then, like, the first day I turned that thing on, I made like $300.
So. Dang!
Oh, there's kind of something to this.
Twit. Test drive one today.
Made a lot of fun this week. And more fun to come. I'm going to be leaving after This Week in Google on Wednesday, but the shows will continue with great guest hosts all week long. Who's hosting all month long? Who's hosting Twit next week? Do you know, Karsten? I should probably check. It's probably
next
on
week
here.
Next week will be Jason Snell.
Snell will be hosting Twit next week. And then the week after, it looks like
some British bloke,
Ian Thompson. Becky Worley will be hosting on the 16th. So
yep. That's
going to be a lot of fun.
No,
lots of
sound.
Good shows. Yeah. It's actually, the shows are better when I'm not here, let's face it.
Oh.
I hear that, though. You know, they say, people send me, they tweet at me, go stay home, stay in Europe.
You live very big shoes to fill.
No. Well, they're not that big. I'm only about 8.5, so double E. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. That's where I'm going to put my travel photos. I actually had an epiphany. I've been posting on social media, right? And I thought, why am I doing that? You should always start at your website. And if you're, I mean, as an individual, your website is what people, you want people to find when they search your name. If you don't have that, people will find other things when they search your name. You really need to control that. I tell this to teenagers all the time. Get a website. When parents have a new baby, I say reservetheirname.com. And I did that for my kids, by the way, and I'm really gratified. Abby set up her WordPress.com site. Henry, I'm still working on him. He says he wants to do it. He says, where can I post my pictures? Facebook just degrades the hell out of them. Henry, WordPress.com. If you're a business, man, you got to have your own website. It's like not having an answering machine or a, you just got to have it. With WordPress and WordPress.com, they do the hosting. They do the security. They do the software updates. You focus on what you do best, create content, talk about your business. For me, travel photos. There are no limits. You're free to create the ultimate online hub that's truly yours. Yes, you can upload images and video and audio and more. You can import and export content to and from your WordPress website. You can email to your WordPress site. It's easy. You can also grow your audience and reach new customers with built-in SEO, social media features, marketing tools. You can do more than just post with your WordPress app. You can moderate comments. You can look at stats. The apps are fantastic. And you can launch your site with confidence because you can get help from WordPress's amazing support team 24/7 whenever you need it. Plans start at just $4 a month. You know, when you add it all up, it's no wonder 31%, almost a third of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. 31% of the internet is WordPress. Get 15% off any new plan right now. Go to wordpress.com/twit and create that website. It's fun. It's easy. If you've been kind of putting it off, don't. It's really satisfying. WordPress.com/twit for 15% off your new website. Go to wordpress.com/twit. I love the web. I feel like the web, we got to preserve the web and preserve websites. And not, so many people just like, oh, I got a Facebook. No, or a Twitter. You got it. We hammered on you, Patrick, for 15 years, 20 years to make a website.
There's actually before Cedia, my new website will be up because I need a bunch of audio coverage. Excellent.
Nice. PatrickNorton.com.
Will that be it? Yeah. I can't wait. You can tweet it out. We do a whole episode on my website and the content on it.
This has been an ongoing conversation since the screensavers. In fact, at one point, I think we forced you to make a website. Man, you went kicking and screaming.
Did you put a bunch of under construction signs and the
no,
animated gopher?
No, it was for all
hamsters
of,
dancing.
For all of my questionable taste in fashion and vehicles, I tend to be very understated with websites.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I find that websites are best when they have flashing like neon yellow. It brings, and I
drive a 1995 Dodge that's missing paint on every single panel. So we all have our places we let it out. But
so while I'm gone, I'm sure Apple have an event, but when is not clear. Typically, they do it on
first or second week in September.
Yeah, the second Tuesday after Labor Day, right? They don't want to do it the Tuesday after Labor Day. This year it's September 3rd, so not September 4th. September 11th. Well, they don't want to do it September 11th. I don't think. That would be the second Tuesday.
Be a crashing
after
show. Oh, no. Sorry.
Yeah, no, say that. They did, actually, in 2012, I looked it up. They had an event that would have normally fallen because they like to do it on Tuesdays on September 11th. They moved it to the next day, September 12th. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that's my deduction is it'll be September 12th. There is some evidence that's the case. For instance, a German phone company who said you'll be able to pre-order the phones September 14th on Friday at midnight, which would be comport with a September 12th announcement. And another site that said your phones will be arriving on the 21st, which is exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Pre-order the Friday after the event. Phone comes a week later. So I think that's a fair guess. We pretty much know what Apple's going to announce.
They'll sort of do a slightly augmented 10, a slightly augmented 8.
No, this isn't going to be the big evolutionary jump. No, this will be the revolutionary jump.
Will it?
Will it? I've got my doubts.
No, but it's just nice to think about.
Yeah.
Since I am running Android right now, they will do something so amazing.
That you'll have to switch.
That I will be like, I'm going to sell a kidney so I can buy that new $2,000 iPhone 11.
I think that's one of the unknowns that'll be interesting is how high can they go? So Samsung followed suit. The Note 9 was $1,000 base model and $1,250 for the model with 8 gigs of RAM and a 512 gig storage.
It's amazing what you can get for $249.
$500 phone.
$500 phone with like 6 gigigabytes of RAM and 256 gigs.
I bought secondhand and it was $300.
Oh, by the way, I would like to apologize to all of the Apple people who went crazy over the rose gold. I thought that was the stupidest thing ever until
red.
I got, and I'm like,
red is
okay,
pretty. No,
I
red's
kinda like
pretty.
The colors.
That's the new.
This is the OnePlus 6, the red one.
That's fairly new, right?
This is fairly new. So, you know, it does all the tricks. It's got the facial recognition right. to unlock. It's got the...
You were saying you love this phone more than any phone you've used.
I do. And yeah. it's way more affordable than the phones I was thinking yeah. about getting. Yeah. And, you know, it does this thing where it's got facial unlock and it's yeah. also got a fingerprint sensor on the back. I thought you weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
Does it have a headphone jack?
It's got one of those, too.
Oh, oh wow. And
I have to say, I am... You know,
SD
I,
card slot?
I am
Come on,
still,
go for the full drive.
No,
go for the...
What's the opposite of chuffed. I'm still
pissed off.
Peeved.
Peeved.
I'm still peeved about the headphone jack, and now Google followed suit. Thank God Samsung doesn't. And
you gave me, I lost that headphone dongle probably in the first 24 hours.
Yeah. That's right. It just doesn't make sense. By the way, give credit to Essential for losing the headphone jack and putting the first notch on a phone long before
Well played.
I mean, Huawei have kept the headphone jack, but they put it in the base of the unit, so if you're actually using it in the car... Your phone immediately falls down the side of the seat.
If you have a carrier, I actually like to have the headphone jack and the power coming down of it. Because I was playing around with an E4, and I was laughing because it was the headphone jack came out of the top and the power jack came out of the back, which is always makes it interesting to figure out how you're going to strap it down so it doesn't become a missile flying across the vehicle.
And that you can look at it safely when you're driving. Yeah. You know, it's just...
I just don't want to let them off the hook on this.
No.
Because it's accepted. Well, you're just not going to have a headphone jack. And I think that doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes absolutely
top or
no
bottom.
Sense.
It just
and the justification that you will, if you want to make a water-resistant / waterproof phone, you have to get rid of it, that's bunk.
Samsung makes an IP68 phone with a headphone jack? I don't understand.
And this was, we can't put a fingerprint sensor on it because it will make it too thick. This is thinner than the iPhone X.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
So, I mean... Tell me that you did it because it's the design. Don't
fashion.
Make something it's up fashion. That I can disprove.
Or that they wanted to push the sales of expensive earbuds or something. But it was like
it was Phil
Schiller. It comes down to one word: courage.
Oh,
the courage to move on and do something courage. Better for all of us.
I will take my cowardly OnePlus 6. Thank you
Germans
very much.
Germans have a lovely word for this. It's a face exquisitely made for slapping. And when he came out with that, it was just like slapping. I'm just gonna punch
this
guy.
Well, you think Apple will stop at $1,000 on the new iPhone?
Are you kidding?
Go over?
$2,000 and we're going to remove the screen.
Courage! I can get you a $2,000 phone. It's the Pixel 3 from Google. So apparently there's a Ukrainian black market dealer who somehow got a bunch of Pixel 3 XLs. Now, this is a phone that everybody agrees probably won't be announced till October. Although now, thanks to these leaks...
Maybe that's
going to be advanced. Because we've been seeing all of a sudden all of these tweets about unboxing. By the way, no headphone jack. It'll come with wired Pixel Buds with a Type-C connector. but apparently the story, and this goes to a 9to5 Google. They did some good legwork. It all comes back to this Ukrainian black market dealer who's been selling them on eBay for $2,000 each.
See, I don't understand this because...
Where'd they get it?
Supposing it is an actual Pixel 3, the minute it tries to log onto Google's servers, it's going to light up.
Right, they're going to go, wait a minute, this doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's going to be like alerts going off, sirens
and it,
everywhere.
It came from Shenzhen because everything comes from Shenzhen.
Yeah, so what you've got to do is rip and put a really lousy operating system on there which doesn't try and mask the hardware stuff that it sends out, if you can even do that, which I've got my doubts about.
I'm pretty sure the Ukrainian black market dealer doesn't give a rat's ass what happens after he's got $2,000.
No.
What I want to know is what's happening internally at Google as they are, you know, as the internal security team is running around trying to figure out what truck these fell off of.
So here's the update from 9to5 Google. The past 48 hours have been interesting, a source tells us. The Google legal and security teams and Foxconn's team are both involved in internal discussions about the leak. They obviously are trying very hard to find out. Foxconn builds it, I gather.
Mm.
So they're clearly saying, all right, well, because this guy, this Ukrainian blogger, has at least 10 phones. He was offering 10 units to one buyer.
Well, the first time one of them connects, they're going to know exactly which batch it came from. They're going to know when it was created. Right. They're going to know who was on shift when it was created.
Yeah.
There you go. It's over.
Presumably, the bloggers who are posting videos of unboxings have not yet turned them on. Maybe.
Maybe.
Somebody's going to turn it on.
But, okay, beyond that, what do you get? Mm. You say, oh, I've got a phone that hasn't been released yet. Oh, it looks like every other phone being designed today. Yeah. Yay,
well, this is actually a problem with the culture we've created. That YouTubers and others who, you know, they want to be, if you, that's a million views if you have the Pixel 2 or Pixel 3 XL. That's a million views. That's money.
What really took me by surprise from YouTube was the number of people who are willing to watch you take a product out of,
a box. Right?
It's just
wait until you watch the Oreo unboxings.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness
Oreo
sake.
Cookie?
Yeah.
What, you take this inedible cookie and then you unbox it and then it's somehow...
Well, there's all these sort of like, you know, I will call them temporary flavors. I think they call them like special...
Oh, yeah, we have them every Tuesday on All About Android. We have a different...
Kind of like the green tea flavor.
Wait, have we run out of flavors for
All
About
Android?
Well, it's
pie now. I want to see pie every week, although I noticed some Oreos
I could do pie every week. I'm cool with that.
Strawberry rhubarb,
so
apple.
You guys know Logan Paul.
No.
It's a thing. He's a boxer, right? I heard about
that. He's a boxer. He and his brother are boxers. So Logan Paul, who is a YouTube star, generates a lot of views, decided to do a pay-per-view boxing match. The undercard was his younger brother. At its peak, 860,000 people paid $10 to watch Logan Paul's fight the other night. So, well, that's a lot of money. That's $8.6 million, if my math is correct. Thank God there's a lot of zeros in that number.
But then one of them got paralyzed and Clint Eastwood had to kill them?
No.
I'm crossing the streams, I think.
But what's really wild is that that's a small number compared to the number of people who watched pirated streams on Twitch. Mm. So,
it's the same guy that got into trouble in that Japanese forest, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, complete oxygen thief.
Mm-hmm.
This is the unboxing phenomenon you just talked about.
They're not boxers.
To think there are people who need of a good set of kidneys, but no.
So KSI is another YouTuber. They're fighting, and now they've already decided on the rematch next year. But really the issue, I think, is that millions of dollars left on the table. Their estimate is that 1.5 or 2 million people watched it on Twitch compared to the...
I saw a screenshot of one of the pirated Twitch streams that was interrupted by someone's mom calling him because it popped up on screen and video froze.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see the white supremacist one?
What?
Oh, this is brilliant. You remember after that white supremacist march the other weekend where like a dozen people turned up?
March.
One of these guys behind it was streaming. He's living at his parents' place. And he was streaming a conversation that he was having with another white supremacist. And his dad tells him to get out of his room and go and move somewhere else. And so he admits,
I'm
being
forced.
Sure
it was real? That wasn't staged?
No, this was actual. Okay. This was real stuff. And it was
that's part of the problem is no longer will we know what's real, what's not real.
Is it real or is it real?
Yeah, no, it appears to be real. And he was bemoaning the fact that he had to live with his parents because he got so unpopular. Because guess what? White supremacy is really unpopular.
It's kind of a deal killer in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Here's an update, by the way.
I know Logan Paul.
You know Logan Paul?
Well, no, I mean, I know of Logan Paul. I've never heard of that. KSI. What's his deal?
This seems to be... This whole thing now is like this separate world that I don't know about. Nobody... But if you're under 18, you know about, I guess.
And
who
I don't
knows
want
to, about.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
And if you look at these sites, people will put up a YouTube video and have 4 million views in a day. I mean, I don't get it. Takes us 2 weeks to get 4 million.
We just need to move on to the next story because I'm trying desperately not to be like, what is this rock and roll?
This
Johnny B. Good.
I feel like the old guy yelling at the kids on my lawn.
Is this a popular beat combo that I'm not familiar with?
No, but I mean.
It's exactly the same. I mean, you come across these people.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. What I'm thinking about is what exactly my boys are going to be watching on what medium, whether it's virtual or whatever hyper attenuation of short attention spans has evolved online.
Well, if you think you're worried, what do you think NBC, CBS, and ABC are thinking?
My relationship is much more personal than their relationship. They're worried about their revenue stream. I'm worried about what I am releasing unto the universe,
Well, that's the world they're going to be in. And my kids, it's the same thing. Everybody's kids, it's the same thing. You two are smart.
That's why we send ours to fire and knife camp.
My kids will never watch YouTube. Good luck with that.
Okay, moving swiftly on, Padre. Little too much information then. Moving swiftly on.
I'm just looking for a story, any story.
Did you see the Verizon throttling thing?
Yeah, let's talk about
California
that.
California wildfires?
I am not sure where I come down on this. So, good. You can tell me.
We can have an argument about this.
So, here's the story, which is that firefighters from the Santa Clara Fire Department went up to Mendocino. It's about 100 miles north. It's just north of us. To fight what has been a horrific wildfire that will continue until next month. They fully
largest
control
in state history.
Month.
Yeah.
They were using Verizon phones to communicate. Apparently used a lot of data, at which point Verizon, by the way, the Santa Clara Fire Department says, we paid Verizon for unlimited data, but Verizon throttled them, making it difficult for them to, you know, provide an emergency response to communicate with first responders, all sorts of stuff. Freaked out, the Santa Clara Fire Department contacted Verizon. Verizon said the only way we could fix this is if you pay twice as much. The vehicle that they're in is actually has a SIM card, a Verizon SIM card for internet access. Here's the quote. In the midst of our response to the Mendocino Complex fire, County Fire discovered the data connection for OES 5262 that coordinates all the local government resources deployed at the fire was being throttled by Verizon. Data rates have been reduced to 1/200th or less than the previous speeds. These reduced speeds severely interfered with the ability to function effectively. My information technology staff communicated directly with Verizon via email about the throttling, requesting it be immediately lifted for public safety purposes. Verizon did not immediately restore full speeds to the device, however. They confirmed the throttling, but rather than restoring us to an essential data transfer speed, they indicated County Fire would have to switch to a new data plan at more than twice the cost, and they would only remove throttling after we contacted the billing department and switched the data plan. This is in the midst of the worst fire in California history.
This is when you've got people on the ground in risk of being burnt alive, and you're trying to sell them a higher data plan. Great.
No, you're not trying to sell them. You're flat out telling them that the only way they can restore... You know, people look at me like, you know, 22 gigabytes of data is enough for any human being. And it's like, I understand what people are saying that. But there are situations where there are, you know, pretty strong reasons for... I guess, one, I want to say quit calling unlimited things unlimited that are not unlimited.
Mm. That's job one.
Yeah. All right, let's just...
And they've been dinged in the past by the FCC for doing this. They persist.
Mm-hmm.
They persist.
But I mean, that's the problem is it's now an accepted industry standard. You know, you have limited data unless you get up to this many gigabytes. Then we have the option of throttling you.
I guess
suggestions.
There, it's a semantic thing. They're saying... No, I mean, sorry, semantics.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're saying...
It is say screwed up, so...
Yeah,
Norton's pretty bad.
If it's screwed up, it's Norton. It's a semantic thing that it isn't... limited.
Yeah.
It's just really slow. So but you still can get as many bits as you need.
Well, yeah. If you can get as many bits, it might take 7 minutes for a Facebook page to load, but you can get as many bits as you need.
And interestingly, in the old FCC, the new FCC has nothing to say about this, but the old, they said, call the FTC. We don't do that. The old FCC said, no, that's not unlimited. Courts have said, no, that's not unlimited.
Yeah.
In an update, ours published this. They said hours after our article was published, Verizon acknowledged it should not have continued to throttle the fire department. This is the quote. Regardless of the plan emergency responders choose, we have a practice to remove data speed restrictions when contacted in emergency situations. We've done this many times, including for emergency personnel responding to these tragic fires. In this situation, we should have lifted the speed restriction when our customer reached out to us. This was a customer support mistake.
Right.
We're reviewing the situation and we'll fix this.
Customers.
Now that we have been publicly dragged out over the... And are now that the pitchforks have arrived outside of our... Pitchforks and burning torches have arrived outside of us and our public images have been tarnished once again.
But, okay, so this is why I have mixed feelings about this. You can talk me off the ledge here. Verizon says, like all customers, fire departments chose service plans that are best for them. The customer purchased a government contract plan for a high-speed wireless data allotment at a set monthly cost. Under this plan, the plan the fire department bought, users get an unlimited amount of data, but speeds are reduced when they exceed their allotment until the next billing cycle, just like we were talking about with T-Mobile, right?
No, And I understand from a legal and accounting perspective that, you know, that's a good cover to hide under. Right. But when you've got the largest wildfire in the state's history, yeah, when you've got firefighters on the ground who could die if they don't get the call in time, then that is not a time to be throttling. And I don't care what
Verizon says is their policy is normally to lift these caps. Verizon also said it, quote, made a mistake in communicating with the department about the terms of the
plan. Made a mistake in getting caught.
Yeah.
The other thing that Verizon said, which I thought was kind of out of the blue, this has nothing to do with net neutrality.
This is BS.
it's
BS in one huge, huge way. Before the most recent net neutrality flip back, mm-hmm, there was someone they could complain to. They could go to the FCC.
They can't
do that anymore.
No.
It's an FTC.
The FTC, who's
FTC
just like,
which is we don't so have undermanned way. That yeah. they'll get to this in a couple of years, yeah, maybe.
Furthermore, had they still been, one of the ways that they repealed net neutrality was Title II. They said, right, you are... The way we got net neutrality is Tom Wheeler and the FCC a year ago said, well, we'll regulate these like telecommunications companies. But with the repeal of that, their broadband providers like Verizon are not regulated like telecommunications
companies. They're not telco.
They're not regulated.
If they were telco, you better believe there would have been recourse, right?
Yeah. If the 9/11 system goes out, if you're a telco, you pay serious fines on that. Whereas something like this, they're just like, well, it was a customer service mistake.
Sorry about that.
We'll fire someone in our call center. But in the meantime, about that data plan, it's a nice phone system you've got there. It'd be a shame if anything happened to it.
It sounds like you're doing a real important job. Don't you want to upgrade to the next data plan?
That's the thing. Verizon said, well, just so you know, all our plans are throttled. If you don't want to be throttled at all, you have to pay by the gigabyte.
Yeah.
Then quit calling them unlimited.
How
much did Verizon
throttled.
Spend in Capitol Hill last year?
Yeah, exactly.
Verizon's the telco version of Clippy. It looks like you're trying to fight a fire.
Yeah. Oddly enough, if the fires were around Verizon buildings, you kind of get the feeling, oh, yeah, just release that throttling right away.
Well, it's about to burn down your tower, so did you want us to do something about that?
Santa Clara switched to the $100 plan. You get $100 for the first 20 gigabytes, $8 a gigabyte thereafter with no throttling. This more than doubled its bill. The department said, while Verizon ultimately did lift the throttling, it was only after County Fire subscribed to a new, more expensive plan.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, well, Verizon ultimately got what they wanted.
But we all face that, right? I mean, I don't think they should use the words unlimited, but we all know that there will be throttling.
Well, then, stop
calling it unlimited.
Exactly. The tech industry is the worst for this. Remember when 4G, they were just coming out with 4G, and it was like, is it LTE? Is it WiMAX? Is it augmented 3G? And, you know, the ITU said, no, this is what is 4G. And the industry said, I don't care what you're saying. We're calling this 4G. And they're doing, you know, time and again with unlimited plans.
And iPhones that didn't have 4G suddenly had AT&T calling it 4G.
Yeah. It's just smoke and mirrors. And in this case, people's lives are at stake, and that really grips my muffin.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you go from a very heavily regulated control.
What part of you is your muffin?
Family show.
Well, no.
Whoa.
The actual phrase is grip something else, but it's a family show.
My muffin.
Show title. Show title.
If you can get me a muffin, I'll grip it for you.
No,
that's a mental image which is going to linger. Right.
Our show today brought to you.
Ian's muffin gets
gripped. Boy, are they happy. They got the good placement by Betterment, the investing tool for those who refuse to settle for average. Betterment is a smart way to manage your money. I am not allowed, according to SEC rules, and unlike some, I adhere to SEC rules. I am not allowed to be a customer because I can't do an ad if I'm a customer. If you start putting away money now for retirement, the sooner you start, the more you'll have at the end. I wish I had started earlier. Betterment is the way to do it. It's the largest independent online financial advisor designed to help customers build wealth, plan for retirement, achieve their financial goals. Betterment's a fiduciary. They make recommendations in your best interest. They are not incentivized to recommend certain funds. They don't have their own investment products to sell. And better yet, while there is a management fee, it's a very low management fee, 0.25%, 25 basis points, and there are no transaction fees. Once you pay, that's it. It trades on your behalf, sometimes even daily, every minute, sometimes no additional cost, no transaction fees. You pay the one low management fee, that's it. These are tax efficient investment strategies Hidden costs nowhere to be found at Betterment. No matter who you are or how much you invest, you get everything for one low, transparent management fee. You know exactly. And it's 25 basis points is nothing. I mean, it's really great. Betterment gives you constant access to information and tools that allow you to track progress towards your goals so you can always feel like a smart, savvy investor. I love the technology. I've looked into it.
Have you seen the Betterment ads on the internet? I think they're on TV, too. So they got this woman from Billions, if you watch Billions.
I have.
Right? Oh, no. It's awesome. She's awesome. And if she told me to do something,
I would do it.
Betterment.
Maggie Siff. Investing, of course, involves risk, but you can get up to 1 year managed free. For more information, visit betterment.com/twit. Betterment.com/twit. Betterment. Outsmart average. Make the most of your money. Someone you can trust, someone who's not trading to make money for their behalf, but to make you make a better investment. Betterment.com/twit.
Okay, I'm a good spokesperson. But if you can get Maggie Siff.
There's so many good shows that I need to catch up on.
It's on Showtime.
There's that. Yeah. I have not watched any Stranger Things. I know. Bad person.
Do you have Netflix at the Vatican?
We have a very complicated network that I'm going to stay away from.
Oh, you're not being brought in to fix that?
No, you're not going to set up ruckus. I'm setting up my own.
Vatican City has got some really interesting communication systems built in.
You have no idea. We actually have a network. This is a callback to early in the show.
HopeNet?
You could call it that, but you're not. No device that's not from the network can connect to the network, and no device on the network is allowed to leave. So it's like,
wait a minute,
yeah,
that's the same for priests, right?
Yeah. So basically, it's
suddenly
an ordained
Hotel
network.
California came
you
up in the background.
You can't leave the network.
You can't. So any device that's on the network, if you disconnect from the network, it's disabled,
and you can't ever join again.
You can't ever join.
And what's the theory there?
Well, it maintains security of the network. There's never a device that you can plug in and start siphoning data off. And if you have a device on the network and you take it off, it's disabled.
Interesting.
So the theory being if somebody was hacking it, that would be the behavior. They're just not going to leave it on the network.
It's not even connected to the internet.
Oh, it's an internal network.
It's a completely separated network.
It's a LAN.
Well, because they were asking, well, how do we make this secure and be able to access it from remote? And we're like, you don't.
Right. Mm.
The second you connect it to the internet, just assume that it's going to get attacked.
It's like Hotel California.
Kind of, yeah.
You said
your,
that.
Your it's device musical. Can check it. Oh, you already said that? I wasn't listening. This year, it's...
MN7 has it. It's the system from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
It's a completely standalone
network.
That's
why Galactica has survived,
right?
It wasn't connected to anything. It's like Hotel California.
Yeah, you can never leave.
I've learned everything from old Eagles songs. That's
network security.
But they won't
to the
let
Eagles.
You go near that. There's somebody else who does that.
I shouldn't. It's not good manners to mess with someone else's network.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Not saying I.
Plus,
no.
They'll know. But
basically, the show is full of people with bad manners. By the way, I just want to point that out. IBM has patented.
Oh, this one.
Oh.
Drone delivery of coffee.
Good. Yeah.
Based on a cognitive state of an individual right to your mouth.
Yeah.
Coffee or other drink, for example, a caffeine-containing drink, is delivered to individuals that would like the drink or who have a predetermined cognitive state using an unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV or drone. The drink is connected to the UAV and the UAV flies to an area, including people. Uses sensors to scan the people for an individual who has gestured that they would like the drink or for whom an electronic analysis of sensor data indicates to be in a predetermined cognitive state.
This is amazing technology, by the way. I love this.
The UAV then flies to the individual to deliver the drink. The analysis can include profile data of people, including electronic calendar data, which can be used to determine a potentially predetermined cognitive state.
And I have a kettle. Works fine.
Leo, this is the future.
Yes. Why would IBM patent this?
Think about this. I mean,
oh, because IBM throws patents out left,
right,
and
center. It's a joke.
This is laying down potential future litigation so that they can get a couple of cents every time somebody actually comes up with this.
Someday somebody's going to do this and we're going to sue the hell out of them.
Pretty much, yeah. That is IBM's intellectual property business plan. So, you know.
This is the on-demand, just-in-time economy taken to its ultimate level. You have a drone that delivers an Axe body spray when it detects body odor above a certain level. If it detects that you're British, it gives you a Quip toothbrush. I mean, these are the kinds of things that are going to drive
commerce
into the future. Do we get paid double for this ad?
My teeth are fine, by the way.
Also, patented storage area network relocation utilizing drones.
What?
Oh, wait, move your sand with a drone.
Just sounds so...
Huh. Okay.
Bueller.
And here's a Daily Mail article. Is this the office of the future? Workplaces may feature coffee delivered by drones, holographic employees, and robots.
Well, if it's a Daily Mail article, I'm surprised it isn't also saying that Diana was killed and immigrants are going to kill us all and, you know, oh, and look at this woman in a tight top. Isn't she a slut? That's the Daily Mail standard way of doing things.
There's tension. I feel this tension. It's the Daily Mail register. No. Okay, I got this.
No, it doesn't call the Daily Fail for no good reason.
Whoa.
But on the coming back to the IBM patent thing, it comes across as just like they're not even close to doing this. You know, it's just like, well, if somebody did come and do this, then if we file this patent now, then we can come round to them and just, you know, it'd be nice if you gave us a few little.
We have the patent for that.
Yeah.
I mean, IBM does have a ridiculous war chest of patents. I'd say at least half of them are completely unenforceable, but they have them and they can sue you with them and they can license them out.
How about this? Drone delivery takes wing for Milford's tilted kilt.
Tilted kilt.
The Bombinitery.
What is.
Let it go. You don't want to know what that is.
I know.
This is from the Connecticut and Rhode Island Beverage Journal.
This is something I should not Google, right?
The Tilted Kilt. It's Milford, Connecticut.
It just sounds.
It's like a Hooters without the wings.
Okay. No.
Made the world's first delivery of chicken wings by drone from its Milford restaurant.
They do have
the
wings.
They do have wings.
Yeah. Sorry. Never been.
They got wings, baby.
Oh yeah. One of the things I always find funny about California, because I got married in a kilt, we have family tartans.
That's why I saw that story and I said,
yeah, but they have a Scottish festival in the Bay Area in, I think it's Livermore, and they have it in August. So it's 100 plus degrees. People are wandering around in kilts. It's not a good place to hang out if body odor is at all worrying for you. But yeah, the tilted kilt, I think I'll give that one a miss.
I think we could wrap this.
Well, now that we're talking about kilts and body odor, yeah, maybe.
I think we finally reached
could be
stasis with the weird patent, the drone patent.
Well, if you thought porch pirates were bad, wait until people start hijacking drones. You know, it's not going to be pretty.
Fortnite, the worst scenario we anticipated happened. So remember, this is Fortnite, which made $150 million on iOS and begrudged the $50 million of it that they had to give to Apple. Said, well, when we're going to be on the Android, we're not going to go through the Google Play Store. No, you can sideload this and we'll get all the money, which many of us pointed out is potentially a little risky. You have to turn on sideloading and Android and so forth. Well, it turned out the installer they put out for Fortnite, which was a two-part installer, one of those things where you download a small thing and it downloads the rest, could be reprogrammed by an app on the phone to, instead of downloading the second part of Fortnite, download any arbitrary app at all.
Absolutely shocking.
Whatever malware you're in the mood for.
You see, I'm kind of torn on this one because I can understand why they did it, because they've already created a great game. Why on earth should they pay 30% surcharge to Google or Apple? But at the same time, from a security standpoint, it's just not a good idea.
And it's also from an optics standpoint, because it looks like your greed outweighs your customer security.
Your
yeah.
Right? This is the Sony rootkit. This was, it got installed. It was supposed to do one thing, and people quickly figured out it's so poorly written, I can make it do anything I want it to do.
Although, in Sony's case, they did kind of shoot themselves in the feet with both barrels when they said most consumers wouldn't know what a rootkit was, so why should they worry about it?
Well, nothing to worry about.
F-Secure actually had that printed up on T-shirts and gave them out to journalists so we could wear them to Sony press conferences. And you've never seen someone's lips get so thin the minute they saw it was what was going on.
It's very true.
So we should say that's been fixed. Google fixed it pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I do think the 30% thing's got to be looked at because that's a hell of a bite to pay.
Although there is a bigger Fortnite story in the news right now.
Oh, okay.
And that was that the DPRK... the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, their news agency released a story that, Kim Jong-un played Fortnite. And the very first time he played, he got 99 kills. Very first time. It was amazing.
This is the same news agency that said the first time he played golf, he scored six holes in one. You know, I mean, I'm kind of being... call me Mr. Picky and Mr. Cynical.
I'm not sure if that's good press for Fortnite or not.
No. Wow. No, but... you know, he's the leader of best career. He can do anything.
Wait, Leo, you don't play Fortnite.
I love Fortnite, but I don't know if what I do could be called playing because I get killed. I'm waxed almost immediately. I get off the get off the glider. I run over to a house. Somebody shoots me. But then I can watch the rest of the game, which I really enjoy.
Does Henry play Fortnite?
Yeah, probably.
Does he play with a keyboard and mouse? Does he hook a keyboard?
That's
and mouse
how out? I play. Although we have it on the we have it on the Xbox, and he has it on the PlayStation, I think. So he plays with a game controller. But I like it with a keyboard and mouse.
Should I start playing Fortnite?
Oh yeah, you don't play Fortnite?
I don't.
Neither oh, you're a gamer. You would love it. It's battle royale. You understand, right?
Is this
so 100 people go in, only one comes out.
It depends on whether or not you can stop playing when you're done.
It's so no,
need to be done.
That's no, I can't.
You know? It actually is interesting because, you know, PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battleground, which was also a battle royale, came out earlier, and everybody loved it. But as soon as Fortnite came out, everybody went, oh, that PUBG, forget it.
Wasn't that? That was weird.
It's like, forget it.
How quickly PUBG
and I think
just
there are a couple
off.
Of things Fortnite did well. First of all, PUBG was very, very realistic. It was like Call of Duty. Fortnite is very much cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Overwatch a little bit. Yeah. It's fun. There's building, which is kind of interesting. You build forts, you build blockades.
And watching people build things in Fortnite may actually be more interesting than playing Fortnite.
And that was, to me, the revelation. I didn't mind dying because it is a great spectator game. And that's when I realized esports is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's actually fun.
Has happened.
Well, it's done. Yeah.
Except for the
it's
fact
happened.
That every esports group says they are the fastest growing esports agency on the planet.
Well, whatever. There's going to be
but
a lot
you look
of hype
at, if you look at the top 10 earners in YouTube, a lot of those are esports players.
That's true. Yeah.
I do hope what just happened in Jacksonville is not a bad omen of what's going to happen. This was an esports event. It was a Madden NFL event.
Well, I mean, anytime you get people together and passions get high and you have some people who are maybe a little unhinged.
And you have no concealed carry rules.
Right. That's going to happen. I mean, everyone goes crazy. The trick is not to have a weapon when you go crazy.
This keeps happening in Florida. This is not an accident.
Well, it happens a lot of places.
Yeah, but a lot in Florida lately, right?
Well, it's very easy to get weaponry in Florida. I mean,
I think that's...
Call me Mr. Picky, but there does seem to be a correlation between easy access to weapons and people actually using them.
Yeah. There are some people in San Bernardino who might argue that.
Well, there's lots of weapons everywhere, God knows. But you got Parkland, you've got disco shooting in Orlando, you've got...
But all done with legal weapons, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to. I don't want to. It's such a sad story, and I bring it up only because it was an esports event.
Yeah,
that is not a.
But no, I mean esports
and a
really
huge
is
esports event. It's mad.
Yeah. Esports is one of those things that I was kind of seriously. People would want to watch someone else play a computer
and
game.
Yes,
and yes, they
yes,
do.
They do.
And yes,
they do.
Watch Fortnite. I'm just telling you because there's so much complexity to the game, and truthfully, you don't have a shot in heck of winning it. So you might as well just watch
or finishing it for that
matter. Really good people. Well, there's nothing to finish. You just have to keep playing until you maybe get to 98 or 97. Or 96.
This is why I stopped playing Counter-Strike. So when it first came out, it was great fun, and then I tried logging on last year, and it was. Oh, I'm going over this. Poof, dead. Okay.
I can tell you though, I'm not bringing any video games on my trip.
Thank you.
No. I also did something.
Not even Rocket League.
I did something maybe a little controversial. I've already deactivated my Facebook. I took Twitter private, mostly because I'm just not going to use it. And I deactivated Instagram.
I don't have Instagram. Facebook I use only for logging into other services, but I still, so Twitter is the one service I let myself use.
Yeah, I don't, because it makes me angry.
I don't use Instagram.
They all make me angry now. I think I will have a happier vacation.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna, as I was
saying. Oh, so this is for the vacation, not permanent.
No, I never say permanent, but yeah, I think it's permanent. I feel so much better. And I think that the issue was on vacation, I like to post pictures. Oh, I have a website.
Crazy.
You know
crazy.
How much happier I was the last two summers when I had, when I was, I went into enforced,
you were in silence.
Silence.
Yeah.
Mm. And then when I came back, it's like, do I really want to do social media? I mean, I guess I should, but it was so much better when I didn't have to and when I didn't have to listen to people.
You're no, wrong. When I was away a couple of days, you know, out of contact for a couple of days, I read two books, you know, and it was just like,
I went outside, really I saw the grass. No. I was that's, like, what is this
that's
stuff?
That's why I have how many books on my Audible that
no,
I'm
no, this was actual
me.
Dead tree where they
no,
take
I don't. I can't. We have a lot of those in where I'm going.
Yeah.
I have one of those in my car right now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, what fun it has been. Thank you guys for being here. If I could pick a bunch of people for my last show, this would be it. Father Robert Ballasaire, he's going to do the last rites in a moment. He is going to Vatican himself, going to the Vatican right. himself. What, later this weekend?
At 6 o'clock a.m. on Saturday.
I'll see you in the air, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I will be, let's see, it's 6 Saturday, I am flying out. I arrive on Sunday, and then Monday is a big meeting with all the funny hat people, which I should be
you
totally.
Go to the funny hat meetings?
Some of them.
Really? Yeah. Do they give you a hat to wear?
No.
like a little hat?
No, there's going to be a circle hats. Of funny hats. And they're
you
all going
like
to be staring at the
little
pocket.
Black hats or anything? Nothing, no hat at all.
We don't. There are. I could wear a cincture if I really wanted
What's
to be
a cincher?
Weird. A cincher is around my waist.
So they'll okay. all be. Will
and
they
Beretta,
all be wearing
it's
one?
Like the Jesuit cap, but no. I wear. I don't even wear clerics. I'll be wearing my Jesuit polo.
You're wearing a polo shirt to a college of cardinals.
Well, I did call it that.
So I look up cinchers, and I find a page.
Community College of Cardinals.
Remember.
Thank you, Jammerbees.
What has been seen cannot be unseen, Leo. Be careful what you search for, especially during a live show.
I find a page of cinchers on Pinterest. We'll just leave it at that.
Oh,
okay?
No.
Patrick Norton has always given me the best advice. Like a brother, he steered me clear of a lot of trouble. You'll find him at techthing.com, TekThing.com. And he's still on the Twitter at Patrick Norton. And True. You and Snubs do Tech Thing every week, and people should watch and subscribe and download. It's awesome. Anything else you want to promote?
AVXL, the home theater and audio podcast I do with Robert Heron.
That's awesome.
AVEXCEL.com.
And lest we forget, This Week in Computer Hardware True. Every week with Ryan Schrout on this here network.
So much conversation about GPUs and SSDs.
Actually, I wanted to ask you about the ARM roadmap that they put out, which I thought was very interesting. ARM basically saying, we're going to make desktop processors in the next year or two.
I think it's going to be... I think that was a complete and total shot across the bow of Intel.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've heard a lot of noise that indicates that Apple's going to start bringing, certainly at the entry level or the lower levels, start bringing their laptops onto their, you know,
ARM processors. Yeah,
A12, A12, 13, yeah. 14,
and,
15.
And they should, because they are really hampered. They're hurt by Intel and Intel's inability to follow their own roadmap. They thought Apple thought they were going to get 10 nanometer parts this year.
Yeah.
They did not, and that hurt Apple because people are saying, where's the new stuff, Apple?
Yeah.
And Apple said, we can't, well.
Well, they did. Absolutely. Like, I have a lot of issues with Intel processors.
Yeah.
Well, they do it yourself until you can't. But Apple, I think at this point, they have enough talent, bought enough talent.
You bet.
The ARM's certainly
they have
doing
more than
1,000
chip designers working at Apple.
Apple went big. And it's also the majority, a huge amount of their revenue is coming off of iPhone sales.
Right.
But I think it's going to be interesting to watch them and then what happens with Apple and then what happens with Chromebooks and then what happens with kind of, you know, Windows Universal applications. I think Intel's about to enter a world of hurt that they could not have imagined 2 years ago.
I completely agree. It's interesting because there's a story we didn't cover, but Intel lobbied hard to get Microsoft to put an Intel chip in the Surface Go. Apparently that was designed for ARM.
Frankly, I have an ARM-based Windows machine. I have that HP Envy XL, and it's really hard to use. It's pretty slow.
Yeah, so limited.
Yeah, well, but maybe with the 850, which is going to be the next generation Qualcomm Snapdragon designed kind of more for desktop, maybe next year, maybe the Cortex-A, I don't know, whatever.
The Surface laptops are... there's just not enough cooling to deal with the amount of processing they're trying to put on those at any level at this point for the Intel processors.
The amount of performance that we want out of our laptops, it will derate any part.
Yeah,
it's got to. The thermal requirements.
A friend of mine had a $3,000 Surface laptop and was like, it's slow. And I'm like, how slow? He's like, really slow. And I had that next to like a two-year-old, it was like a Core i7 loaded Surface Book versus at the time, a Dell XPS 13 that was two generations processor, Core i5 behind, which was, you know, handily beating in rendering. Now, we were arguing about this on,
because I bought that i9 MacBook Pro.
But a bunch of that they fixed in firmware, but it's like if you expect certain things out of your laptop, they are not delivering. Now, hopefully some firmware updates have made that better, but it's tough to do passive cooling with most processors these days.
Because it's going to be really interesting in the next two or three years. Yeah. I really think you could tell Intel's shivering in their boots. It's not
when
good for
TSMC and Samsung are ahead of them in
They're
process
7
technology.
Nanometers.
Yeah, that's the part where everybody's looking around going like, WTF.
Well, no, I mean, you were exactly right when you said Intel's sort of sleepwalking into this. I've been covering that, done the last couple of financial reporting, and then it was like, well, we won't be coming out with 10 nanometer until next year. And then it was like, end of next year. And it's going to overrun if they're going to do in volume. And data center is still way behind the thing.
And let's not forget the speculative execution flaws.
Still there.
Meltdown in the new
still
one. Foreshadow. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only is it still there, they're finding more. And they're not going to stop finding more because it's a fundamental flaw in speculative execution.
And in the meantime, you've got AMD killing it with their Ryzen architecture. Yeah. You've got NVIDIA
Epic
doing amazing things with GPU technology. Yeah. And it's like, well... what's left for Intel?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. Like, can they pull it together? You know, I mean, at this point, it feels like this. But the other thing is they make a lot of money in places other than processors.
Right. Is why I'm not retiring. I think it's going to be a very interesting few years. I hope you gents will come and join me.
Said, which is really quite shocking, which is with the EPYC chips, Intel's goal is to keep AMD below a 20% market share. Now, their market share in the data center at the moment is 1%, maybe.
Yeah.
So they were saying they're expecting to get
hammered. We're in deep trouble, but at least if we can keep them at below 20%, we can survive. Yeah. Well, that's Ian Thompson. He's from theregister.co.uk at IAIN. THOMSON.
My parents and I have had words about that.
On the Twitter. Yeah, that's why I like doing this show, because I think this is one beat where things are changing all the time. It's always fun. It's always interesting. So I'm going to go away for 3 weeks. But,
well deserved.
But I hope I come back. No, I will be back. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for a great studio audience, too. Captain Sam was here. She's left the Merchant Marine. She's gonna move in with us. Josh from Georgia and Peter from Sydney, who brought our soccer playing
robot.
That was great fun. Thank you guys for coming. We open the doors for this show, and if you want to be here in the studio audience, all you have to do is come to Northern California, the Petaluma area, some Sunday afternoon. Email tickets at twit.tv so we can put a chair out for you. You can also watch us live, do the show live from anywhere at twit.tv/live. If you do that, please get in that chat room there. Bunch of people watching live at the same time at irc.twit.tv. They're nice people, good people, attractive people, and they will not bite. They might kick you like a soccer ball. But they will not bite.
That's the robots.
We also make on-demand versions of everything we do, including this show, available at our website. Do watch that Bill Atkinson interview. Part 2 is coming out next week. He was great. Twit.tv. And as with all our shows, you can subscribe with your favorite podcast application. Overcast, Pocket Cast. We love Pocket Cast. Apple's podcasts, Google's podcasts, Stitcher, Slacker, all of the above. Just look for Twit and you'll find it. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit, as I have been saying for 13 years, is in the can. Bye bye.
Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby.
Is the robot ready to play? She plays soccer, you know.
Oh, this is one of those. Okay.
Yeah. So it's doing that all autonomously using its own cameras and recognition, right?
Hey.
Oh.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes.
That is impressive.